Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance when we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to footwork impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more than table. The many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off so mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
The Terrible. All rise for King Shazam the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
If I were the devil, if I were the Prince of Darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. and the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. The time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Tracks deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.
Shazam the Terrible, all rise for King Shazam the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table. everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html, as well as if you scroll down underneath all the chat rooms, you'll see a link for People for People Radio Network. Go over there and tell them wonderful folks I said hi. And so with that said, let's get the Mad Science Show started. So far, ain't nobody showed up here as far as the nights go, but it's all right because I got a few podcasts I want to play because I want to talk about a trash planet. Big question mark. Trash planet. You want to live in a trash heap? so let me get started on this because you got to address the problem and then you come around and you give out the solution. And I think we have more than enough solutions. We just got to get some folks interested in making things happen. So with that said, I'm going to start off with this one right here.
Think about everything you touch in a day. Now think about how much of it is plastic. Plastics are amazing materials. They're lightweight, but strong. Flexible, but impermeable. They're in our cars, planes, hospitals, weapons, and electronics. Plastic is everywhere. But of course, that's the problem. Plastic is everywhere. More importantly, plastics don't biodegrade. That water bottle you use for 10 minutes? It could take 500 years or more to fully decompose.
Most plastics that we use are single-use, short-time-use packaging, and then they're discarded.
That mismatch between plastics' short use and long life results in an overflow of plastic waste. Think about how crazy this is. To get the raw materials for plastics, we spend billions pulling fossil fuels out of the earth. Then we pollute the earth to make plastics, and then we toss those plastics right back into the ground where they came from.
Think 50 years from now, what will happen is people will be digging out landfills and taking out product to recycle, and they will think we're crazy people of dumping things in landfills.
So we should just get rid of plastic. Small problem. There is nothing better at doing what plastic does than plastic. When it comes to its low cost, versatility, and durability, the plastic we use today is unbeatable.
We're not going to get rid of plastics anytime soon, so we better deal with them in a more intelligent way from where they come from and also where they go after we're done using them.
That means two things. We have to develop new, environmentally friendly materials that can replace petroleum-based plastics, and we have to find a way to clean up the plastics we've already discarded. One of the teams that's developing a sustainable replacement for plastic is here, in this lab at the Center for Sustainable Polymers at the University of Minnesota.
The majority of plastics that we use now are from petroleum, and by majority, I mean more than 90%, maybe more than 95%.
But the team at this lab is trying to change that. They are trying to totally rethink where a plastic can come from. Could you make a plastic of living materials, like plants or bacteria?
One of the common misconceptions in the world of plastic is that there's plastic. Well, actually, there's several different varieties of plastic. You're familiar with recycling symbols. There's seven of those. So there's no one plastic that will replace all plastics.
At the lab, researchers are working on several types of bioplastics. That's plastic made out of renewable resources that could be used for everything from the soles of shoes to housing insulation. The latest breakthrough is a new type of foam that could replace petroleum-based cushioning like what's in car seats and bedding. And it all starts with bacteria.
It's E. coli. It's Escherichia coli. So that's the strain that we use for our experiments.
The E. coli is genetically modified, meaning it's given a new set of instructions. In this case, to synthesize molecules that can be polymerized to create new materials. Then they're fed sugar, shaken, and fermented. The byproduct of this process is a molecule that's a precursor to plastic. When mixed with a catalyst in the lab, the chemical reaction produces this bubbling gel-like substance. When it hardens, you've got foam.
So, still pretty sticky, but this can then be cut and thrown into pillows. The main reason that I think this is important is because the feedstock is renewable.
There's an endless supply of bacteria and sugar, a far cry from petroleum, which is limited in supply and expensive to find. So that's where the foam comes from, but what happens when it's time to throw it away, when you're ready to get rid of that car seat or pillow?
I want to interject here for a second because the mad science guy in me just won't let this one go. He said that there is a limited supply of petroleum and it's hard to find. It's the biggest hock-a-hooey in the histories of hock-a-hooeys. One of which, because we live in a carbon-based world, that's just pure ridiculousness. You're never, ever, ever going to run out of oil, period. It's not possible. Until the planet stops doing what the planet does, it's just not physically possible. But nonetheless, there's some important information in here anyway.
Most foams aren't recycled, and if they are, they're chopped up and broken into a degraded material. But if this foam is collected, it can be chemically broken back down into the same precursor they started with, which can then be used to create new foams over and over again. The lab is also working on a replacement for rubber in things like shoes, tires, sporting equipment, or household items.
So we want to look for rubbery materials, things that are stretchy, that are elastic, that can be extended, and they snap right back.
This process starts with starch from corn. Chemists can synthesize the polymer in the lab, dry it, and then mold it.
Once we form some of the rubbers that we use today, we can't reprocess them. They can just be ground up and make the playground rubber material. But this you can melt and reprocess and reuse it.
And it's compostable.
That's what we strive for, right? Because we don't want to have our ocean filled with plastics.
So why aren't materials like this in all of our couches and shoes already?
So I oftentimes joke that my lab has produced a lot of materials that have interesting and exciting properties, but nobody really cares about them.
That's because the bioplastics in this lab are still relatively expensive to produce, especially now with oil prices so low.
The unfortunate reality is that consumers like you will not pay a premium for biorenewability or degradability, or not much of a premium.
An ideal bioplastic would not only look and perform as well as petroleum-based plastics, it'd be just as cheap and easy to produce.
It probably won't look any different. I'll still grab the bag to put my fruit in at the grocery store, except it'll be from bio-based feedstocks. And except when I throw it away, it'll have a facile route to decomposition to give environmentally innocuous byproducts.
If this lab succeeds, a better world might look a lot like the one we already live in. Bioplastics may be a few years out, but there are steps we can take today to help clean up the plastic we've already used. We're at Carbon Light Industries in Riverside, California. It's a plastics recycling plant, one that specializes in recycling a type of plastic called PET that you find in most soda and water bottles. Every day, 300,000 pounds of plastic bottles arrive in bales. That's 3 billion bottles a year. They're sent through a maze of high-tech machines that sort, clean, melt, and sanitize them. It's what you think of when you think of a recycling plant. Except Carbon Light does something few recyclers are actually able to do. Turn plastic bottles back into material for new plastic bottles. This is Leon Farinick, founder and CEO of Carbon Light. By the way, Leon's been in plastics for a long time. He ran one of the first companies that introduced plastic bags to grocery stores in the 80s.
I feel that, okay, I brought grocery sacks and all that, now I'm, redeeming myself and I'm doing recycling.
Until recently, most plastic bottles collected for recycling in the U.S. were sent overseas.
A lot of the bottles that was collected in California, for example, or other places were being shipped to China. So what the Chinese would do, would take the bottles, transform it into a lesser material like a carpet, like fabric, and then ship it back to us. Bottle to bottle, like what we do, that we call it cradle to cradle, that happens a lot less.
What most people don't realize is when they throw a plastic water bottle into a blue or green recycling bin, that bottle's less likely to become another bottle than it is to become something else, like carpet or teddy bear stuffing. And if it winds up living a second life as carpeting or teddy bear stuffing, then it more than likely ends its recyclable life there. That's because those materials are harder to collect and recycle. Why not just turn old plastic bottles into new ones? Well, it's expensive.
And you have to have a very sophisticated facility like this one to be able to make the necessary material for people to use it for their beverages.
Jeff Walsh, Vice President of Operations, took us around to show us the inner workings.
Okay, so this is where the process starts. Each one of these bales weighs about 1,300 pounds or so.
First, bottles are broken out of bales. Trash and non-PET materials are separated using optical sorters. Then a rinse cycle begins to remove labels and caps. Colored and clear materials are separated, then they get crushed and hot washed. Finally, the bottles are ground into what Carbon Light calls cornflake.
This flake is like gold. This is what we use to make the food-grade material that we sell to our customers.
The last step is melting the flake and cutting it into beads. Jose Valle is the quality control manager at the on-site lab.
We operate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and our sole purpose is to test.
The lab tests the product to make sure it meets manufacturer's standards for safety and structural integrity. With the most recent dip in oil prices, Farinix says plastics derived from petroleum are currently cheaper than Carbon Light's recycled material. Even so, customers like Nestle and Pepsi still buy Carbon Light's product to use in some of their bottles. After all, who doesn't like to see an earth-friendly logo on their 15 ounces of acai machine?
This is our problem. It will be a shame to 50 years from now people are suffering. This is right for the environment. It's really a huge issue, and we have to take care of it.
Alrighty there. Let's see. We're going to go on to the next one here.
What actually happens to the stuff you put in the recycling bin? I've always been curious, so I decided to collect the recycling from our office and bring it to a recycling plant to find out. Follow me, we're going to find out the life of our recyclables as they go to a recycling plant. When I got to Sims Recycling Plant in Brooklyn, I found a huge warehouse where 800 tons of recyclables from all over New York are dropped off by barge and truck every day. The plant was built in 2013 and it is state of the art. It handles materials like metals, glass, and hard plastics. And after those materials are dropped off, they're sorted.
So we take all of those unsorted recyclables and we're pushing it through our processing system, which is almost all automatic. It's about 2.5 miles worth of conveyor belts, magnets, cameras, all sorts of other machines dedicated to just sorting out different materials.
The sorting machine is very high tech and sorts 14 kinds of materials, like glass, aluminum, cartons, and different types of plastic. Once enough of a material is collected, it's compressed into a 1,000 to 1,500 pound block called a bale. After the bales are sorted, they're sold to third-party companies. For example, a bale of aluminum might sell for $800. Buyers then take that raw material, clean and process it, and turn it into something new. This process saves way more energy than mining for virgin materials. With the same amount of energy that it takes to make one can of new aluminum, you can make 20 cans from recycled aluminum. and using 1 ton of recycled plastic saves 16 barrels of oil.
You have to think about all this stuff as coming from the earth, right? There's natural resources, oil, and all these plastics. And once you put it in the trash, it's going to a landfill or it's going to an incinerator. You're never going to use that material again. So it's super important. We've got limited resources on this planet to use these kinds of materials as much as we can in the best way as possible.
Despite the great setup at Sims, there are a lot of issues with recycling. First of all, Americans kind of suck at it. According to the EPA, about 75% of all of our waste is actually recyclable, yet our recycling rates hang around 34% nationally. That basically means that only a third of every single thing we use and throw out every day is making it to the recycling bin. And don't get me started with New Yorkers. We only recycle 17% of our waste.
This is a garbage can right off of our office. You can see there's paper and there's some cans in there, cups. All of these things are recyclable. And they're in the trash right when there's a recycling bin right next door.
Only about 50% of recyclables in New York City are getting recycled right now. And I think that's largely a result of maybe a lack of public education, the fact that the rules have changed over time. Maybe some people just don't care enough or don't know why they should care. And I think all of those kind of issues can really be addressed through education.
For their part, Sims offers daily educational tours of their plant in an effort to boost our low recycling rates. Low rates aren't the only issue, though. Sam also told me about another problem called wish cycling. That's when people put trash into the recycling bin, hoping it can be recycled, when in fact it cannot.
I would say it's about 10 to 13% of what we get is not something we want to receive. Those kinds of materials are maybe extra plastic bags, plastic film, maybe little bits of food scraps mixed in with those containers.
Wish cycling wastes a lot of energy and fuel because items are shipped to a plant like Sam's, sorted, and then eventually just sent to the dump. I wanted to see if my coworkers and I were guilty of any wish cycling, so I convinced Sam to go through our bag with me. We're not wearing gloves because... Is that okay with you?
Yeah, we do this every day.
Okay. By looking through our bag, I learned we made some mistakes, like putting paper towels in the recycling bin. They're actually compostable. He also told me important tips, like cutting down on plastic straws.
A lot of sort of single-use disposables that are really small, it's better to use less of these than to even try to recycle them because a lot of small plastics sort of fall through the cracks in the system.
Reduce.
Exactly.
Sam told me that another huge misconception about recycling are plastic bags.
We get about 18 tons of plastic bags here every single day. Ideally, we would be getting nothing.
Plastic bags are a low-quality kind of plastic, which makes them really hard to resell. For example, in Sim's case, they actually have to pay another company to come to pick up the bags and recycle them elsewhere. On top of that, the bags get stuck in the machine and can break it. So, if you want to recycle your plastic shopping bags, go to a plastic drop-off at a retailer like Whole Foods. Or better yet, skip the plastic bags altogether and bring a reusable bag. It's important to note that every city is different, so look up what your city's recycling plant accepts. Sims is one of the most inclusive recycling plants on the East Coast, and it accepts more materials than many recycling plants. But Sam told me to abide by the general rule. If it's a hard plastic, put it in the recycling bin. Seeing the 800 tons of recyclables at Sims was insane. But that's nothing compared to the 12,000 tons of trash residents of New York City throw out every day. I know seeing that made me more conscious of what I use every day, and it inspired me to cut down on single-use plastics. But let's be real. Plastic is still part of our everyday lives, and it's hard to avoid it completely. However, I've realized we can have a say in where it ends up, and while we're at it, help our environment and create a more sustainable future.
Okay, moving right along here.
As plastic continues swirling in the Pacific Ocean, Planet 100 offers up everything you want to know about the Pacific Trash Vortex. This is Planet 100. Welcome to Planet 100. I'm Sarah Backhouse. On today's special episode, the who, what, when, why, where, and how of the Pacific Trash Vortex. What exactly is the Pacific Trash Vortex? It's a huge soup of trash twice the size of Texas that has the dubious honor of being the biggest landfill on the planet. 90% of this trash is plastic, 80% which originates on land, and the other 20% comes from seafaring vessels and oil platforms. The name Pacific Trash Vortex might give you a hint that it's in the Pacific, but did you know it's actually comprised of two separate vortexes? The Eastern Garbage Patch floats between Hawaii and California, while the Western Garbage Patch forms east of Japan and west of Hawaii. The two are connected by a super long current called the Subtropical Convergence Zone. So who's responsible for this mess? Well, humans, especially those in the developed world, who are consuming, discarding, and replacing mainly Chinese-made crap at an ever-accelerating rate. The US has 5% of the world's population, but consumes 30% of the world's resources and creates 30% of the world's waste. No one knows exactly when the Pacific Trash Vortex began to form, but we do know that plastic has been around for the past 144 years. And apart from a very small amount which has been incinerated, every piece of plastic ever made still exists. Given we're churning out about 60 billion tons of plastic annually, much of it disposable, it's no wonder monsters like the Pacific Trash Vortex have been created. Why do we care about the Pacific Trash Vortex? Because it's killing millions of birds and animals every year who consume or get tangled in plastic debris. Check out Chris Jordan's photos of albatross on Midway for some graphic proof. Worse, the Pacific Trash Vortex is only one of five massive trash vortexes, which together cover 40% of the world's oceans. So how do we stop it? Well, each of us tosses about 185 pounds of plastics each year. Much of it, like PVC rubber duckies, toxic. We need to start by stopping. Do we need all those plastic toys and plastic bottles? Can we say no to plastic bags and bring our own canvas grocery bags? Can we commit to recycling? By reducing, reusing, and recycling, we could reduce our waste stream by 50% or more, a major step in fighting the Pacific Trash Vortex. Any more ideas? Let us know by leaving a comment at our YouTube page. And we'll see you tomorrow for more Planet 100.
Okay, one of the things that she said in here, I thought was kind of rude, but because it's not just a Chinese, made products issue. If people are going to buy Chinese products, then, that's, what I'm saying. Anyway. Look, this isn't just a China problem. This is a worldwide problem. This is something that, from every different nation, and a lot of the countries that are actually exporting their recyclable plastic are not just not exporting that. They're exporting quite literally garbage and biohazard plastic containers and stuff like that to China. And so with that said, China's basically planned on putting on a ban on imports or rejecting imports from other nations, when it's cheaper to export it than actually recycle it right there in your own hometown. Then you got to expect that that's going to open the gates for, different types of corruptions or people abusing the system. But I won't stand by and allow anybody to blame the Chinese, because the Chinese make a lot of good products, Granted, they make cheap products, and that's because people want to buy products. One of their people over there that is in the industry of making products for big companies out here basically said the only reason why we make it like that, it's not that we can't make a good product, it's that's what the companies want us. They want us to cut corners and make stuff cheaper so that they can sell more of it, which is understandable. If you're going to stay in business, there's a saying, they say the customer's always right. So, it's just... that's what happens. But, the Chinese, they make a lot of stuff. They're doing just like everybody else, every other nation out there. They're trying to build themselves a strong economy, a strong, powerful, country, and, do what they do. But, you can't blame them for that. It's their home. But either way, that one thing she said in there about, Chinese made, I found that to be a little bit rude, but it's still, it comes across to a problem that needs a resolution. And I honestly believe we have a resolution, but let's move a little farther.
Plastic pollution is one of the biggest threats the oceans face today. But how much do we really know about it? On its mission to solve this problem, the Ocean Cleanup just published the most advanced research ever on the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, the largest accumulation zone of ocean plastic on the planet. Scientists have been studying this area since the 1970s, mostly by dragging a small sampling net through the ocean. The Ocean's Cleanup's researchers believe this method was valid only for small debris and covered too small an area to reliably measure larger debris. So, in the summer of 2015, the Ocean Cleanup launched the Mega Expedition, crossing the patch with 30 boats simultaneously. In addition to using many small nets, two giant trawls were towed behind the fleet's mothership. In total, they brought back 1.2 million plastic samples. All were hand-counted, identified, and classified by type and size. A monumental task, taking a team of lab technicians 2 years to complete. However, the largest debris appeared less frequent and more scattered. Quantifying the debris required an area 20 times larger than the mega expedition to be covered. Something only possible from the sky. The Ocean Cleanup ran the first ever aerial surveys of a garbage patch by converting a former military aircraft into a high-tech research platform. Cutting-edge sensors allowed them to reconstruct the 3D shapes of large debris to calculate their mass. The results of all this work? The Great Pacific Garbage Patch measures 1.6 million square kilometers. That is three times the size of France. The patch contains 1.8 trillion pieces of plastic, which equals 250 pieces for every human in the world. The total mass amounts to 80,000 tons. 4 to 16 times more than previous estimates. 92% of this mass is made up of the larger objects, all of which are destined to fragment into dangerous microplastics over the next few decades if left under the effect of sun and waves. And because the findings show that pollution in the patch is increasing exponentially, the plastic is unlikely to go away by itself. These results paint a new picture of the problem and provide a baseline for the cleanup of the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, set to start in 2018.
Alrighty then, we got one last one, I believe.
Do you know what happens to the plastic you use after you get rid of it? If you recycle, you probably expect it to be made into more products. The truth is, only 6.5% of plastic that is sent to be recycled is actually reused, because we generate more plastic waste than can be repurposed. The majority of our plastic waste ends up in landfills, and 10% of it ends up in the ocean, as if it does not exist anymore. But it does. And after all the years of irresponsibly dumping our plastic waste, it has built up in a naturally occurring current called an ocean gyre and is threatening our ecosystem. Enormous amounts of plastic waste are caught in ocean currents and collected together, creating a giant whirlpool of harmful trash, mostly plastic bottles, plastic bags, and styrofoam. This mound of plastic is called a trash vortex. This plastic is consumed by the gyre, slowly building up and affecting marine life. Plastic waste has been found in the stomachs of aquatic animals, thus entering our food chain. There are 5 ocean gyres worldwide. If we do nothing, these trash vortexes will continue to expand and decimate life in and out of the ocean. It is estimated that the trash vortex in the Pacific gyre is about the size of Texas, and odds are it's even bigger than that. Most of the plastic has either become completely transparent or the trash vortex is too deep beneath the ocean's surface for scientists to tell exactly how big it is. So what can we do about this disaster? 2 very simple things. Number 1, use a refillable bottle instead of buying individually bottled drinks. And number 2, bring your own tote bag instead of using plastic retail or grocery bags. It costs almost nothing to fill your own bottle with water. In fact, most bottled water is actually filtered tap water. Some bottled water costs 2,000% more than tap. And despite what the commercials say, the water is not any cleaner. Because private water bottling companies are self-regulated, unlike municipal water supplies, which conduct tests frequently. According to the Container Recycling Institute, 60 million plastic water bottles are discarded every day in the United States. We all have a choice to make, whether to contribute to the ever-expanding trash vortexes or to change our buying habits.
So, here we go. Let's see what we can accomplish by this. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table, by the way. If you want to join me, call me up on Skype, and you can put your input in there. I'm sure at some point some of the Knights of the Round Table will show up, but they're probably sleeping in or got some things going on out slaying dragons and such. But anyway, when you think about this problem, I'm not sure that too many people in this world actually realize that there is actually a problem with, recycling. Because, you know, they're doing the thing. They're putting their stuff in separate deals. And, you know, in some instances, people are courteous enough to wash out their plastic dishes before they actually throw them into the deal. But I'm thinking, if they really knew what the repercussions of what they were doing, you know, and where it was going to go, that there would probably be a different mindset about how they went about it. Now, the ones that are washing it out, as far as I'm concerned, are probably doing the best service for everybody. But I hate to see that go to waste, you know, that people go through all that problem, that trouble to do something positive and try to do their part. And then somewhere in the system it gets mixed with trash that somebody else just simply didn't care about. Now, we're living in a world, a high-tech world, where we got actual methods by which we could probably implant sensors into, plastics that probably could even be recycled as well. But if you throw this, plastic bottle into the trash, suddenly a big loud alarm goes off and embarrasses the person that just thought it in the wrong can or something like that. I know it sounds crazy, but that's just a thought. But either way, you know, if you start off teaching people and showing them the truth about what's actually going on, maybe you could get something started for, you know, future generations. Because this big old pile of trash out there, some of which, because of natural disasters, flushed a bunch of stuff off of land, but you also go out there and you watch people on the beaches as well, and people are sloppy. You know, they're lazy. Some people are environmentally conscious, and they care about, and they don't leave trash laying around, but, somebody said beep. Alright, so anyway, They don't take the time to walk up to, a recycling bin and put their stuff in the right place, or they'll just throw it into a trash can. All right, well, I didn't litter. I threw it into a trash can. Well, essentially, you kind of did litter, if you want to be intellectually honest about it, because where it goes from that point then, you don't know. No, very few people realize where their trash is actually heading once it goes into that trash can. You know, most generally, it ends up in a landfill somewhere, and only a tiny percentage of what is actually produced actually gets recycled back into the system. And then, the people out there, the companies, like we listened to a podcast yesterday about, I believe it was in the UK, where they, have companies that are actually trying to recycle, but they're, being hindered by companies that are being paid, quite literally a higher price to export it to other nations like China. Let's see, Tamaj said the biggest problem with plastic recycling is there's no market for most of the plastics recycled. Well, there could be a market. That's what I'm here to help talk about, because I believe that if you could actually let's just go right into it. You know, when you start to, you know, try to get a project going such as recycling, it's hard to get people on board with it because there's really not a whole lot of incentive outside of, unless they really care about their environment, what to do with, you know, the trash. But if you was to take a look at this in just a little different fashion, and instead of just saying, yeah, we're going to recycle this, you turn this into something with the equivalence of money. You know, each one of these plastic bottles, like I'm doing a bottle cap for Mad Science Drive, and I'm going to actually try to get some people involved in this deal to where I take these bottle caps and I show them where they can actually turn them into something that is marketable. You know, something that is of value. Every resource out there, as far as I'm concerned, is a valuable resource. We could actually reuse, they say 70% of your trash is recyclable. And, you know, I think that 100% of your trash is recyclable, even including food waste, because you can use that food waste to build compost piles that you could then in turn use for fertilizer and such. And it would probably even lessen how many chemicals you actually have to need for certain things, you know. But nonetheless, there's a company out there, and I'll repost it. I posted it yesterday. I posted a link to preciousplastics.com. Now, when I first started off the Bottle Cap for Mad Science campaign, I started looking into, you know, what can we do with, you know, plastics. There's certain types of plastics out there that, you know, don't take near as much heat to, you know, melt and then actually reform into usable materials. Well, when I started looking into this a lot deeper and stuff, the thing that I came across was a website with a man named Dave that actually has preciousplastics.com, and I'm going to go ahead and post that link, and then I'm probably even going to play that podcast so that you can hear the video. Because if I got your attention for a moment, I'd like to let you go ahead and hear it in case you don't get the opportunity to click on the video and check it out yourself. But either way, preciousplastics.com is a place where this man named Dave, he actually has a YouTube channel, and he custom builds plastic grinders, and he builds injection molds and stuff like that. Everything that you would need to actually quite literally start your own little plastics recycling / business. And so, with that said, it's a start. You know, if you could get these systems in every little community, not only could it potentially, you know, create new jobs for people, but it would, you know, basically help the local environment.
This bottle is made from plastic. Actually, a lot of things we have are made from plastic. It's used everywhere, but it also ends up everywhere, damaging our planet. Which is weird. It's a precious material laying around everywhere, for free. We could also turn this waste into something new. Unfortunately, we haven't got the machines to do this ourselves. For the big boys. So we develop machines that enable everyone to work with plastic and start their own little factory. Waste is shredded in small flakes, which will be used to create something new. You can work freely with your hands or make your own molds to set up a small production. It's like being a craftsman in plastic. You love the space you recycle colors, or keep it plain simple. You can create little containers and pots, make your own functional tools, or use them to create new raw material. Now you can turn plastic waste into something valuable. We love to see plastic getting recycled all over the world, so we share the blueprints of these machines online, but also step-by-step instruction videos, lessons about plastic, tips and tricks, and useful templates. A complete package with everything you need to get started. ready to download. The machines are specifically designed using only basic tools and low-cost materials that are available in every corner of the world. And they are developed modular, in different parts. In this way, you can always upgrade, repair and customize them, or even adapt them to your environment. Wherever you live, you should be able to build them yourself, or find a local handyman to help out. These machines allow everyone to create new things from plastic, set up a production, start a business, and clean up the neighborhood. And with this project, we want to try and boost plastic recycling by providing people the tools to get started. So this is all the basic information people need to start their own little recycle business anywhere in the world. And they can all download it for free. But in order for this to have an impact, we need to make sure that people actually know it's now possible and that they can just download and start. But we can't do this alone, this is why we need your help. By visiting our website, you can simply spread it around. Make sure it reaches your friends, uncle, neighbor, but also that farmer living somewhere in the middle of Africa. Your share might reach the right person, and altogether we can make sure it reaches every corner of the world. Once the information is spread, the recycling begins. Visit preciousplastic.com for more information and spread the word.
So anyway, that's what I'm hoping to try to do, something similar to what he was doing. I posted a link to preciousplastics.com into the Super chat rooms. If you're over at People for People Radio Network and want to copy those links and share them with people, I appreciate it. Also posted a picture of a sticker that I already had some of them printed out. I'm going to put these stickers on buckets and try to put them into different places, see if the store owners allow me to put them in there, to see what type of response that I get. And the reason for this thing is this: Bottle Caps for Mad Science, help us show the world how to turn trash into a real solution. The reason for my thought about doing this right here is for two things. Is one, if you follow me on the internet at all, you know that I really do care about the world. I really do care about people, and I'm trying to do something in alternative energy that will help, you know, not just the environment, but it'll help the people around the world be able to be, you know, have the energy when they need it. And so with that said, I've taken everything that I've researched all my life and basically putting it into actual, you know, working prototypes and showing people a different way to use energy and such. And so this process that I'm doing, when I'm doing my mad science, not only does this internet cost money, but it costs money to do what it is that I do as far as building projects and stuff. And since I'm not one that's into, you know, asking people for money or anything like that, and I'm not into this to get rich or to get fame or notoriety. I'm just in it because I care and I have a piece of the puzzle to share with people. And so, you know, I still need to be able to fund my research. So I figured, well, what better way to fuel my research fund my research is to start funding it with other people's trash. I mean, if they're going to throw it away anyway, what would be the harm if I'm going to be putting something positive back into the world with it, if they took the time to throw that bottle cap into, you know, a bucket? And I'll put an explanation on the bucket, what it's all about, and hopefully generate some interest in it and try to get some schools involved to understand about recycling. And, that way that maybe, just maybe, I can start off some sort of trend where people understand where we can actually turn trash quite literally into, you know, it's already valuable. You know, there's people out there that recycle it, people out there that earn a living with other people's trash. And so if you could actually turn it into almost nearly the equivalence of money, you know, that's something that if it has a value to it, then people might actually take the time to do it. And if they know the purpose behind it, why recycle, you know? Well, first off, if it's getting out there into our environment, which obviously it is, if there's something three times the size of France out there that's a big old debris field that it's making a heck of a mess and it's messing with our environment. So we want to fix that. Obviously, I mean, we love our planet. We want to be able to live, you know, in harmony with nature. So, if I can take this bottle caps for mad science and I can turn it into something that is something that people can physically see and touch, that they might be interested in actually doing this as well, think about this for a second. If I make a mold and I'm able to take one single bottle cap and with a little process turn that one little bottle cap into, like, let's say a token. All right, and on this token right here, this token has a certain amount of weight. It's actually, now it's worth something. It's basically ready to go to a recycling plant and, you know, be turned back into another useful product if you want. So you gather up, you know, like one of them big old penny jars that you used to have when you was a kid or something like that, and you start throwing these tokens in there. Every time you get a bottle cap, it's kind of neat. You got this little mold thing, and it'll make a token out of it, and you throw it in there. Well, you just add them up just like pennies. And then actually develop a store that you can take these tokens to, and for the weight of whichever type of plastic you've got, you can buy the equivalence of some useful product that's actually made out of these types of plastics. And so, it would generate a little bit of interest in actually doing this, you know, and actually give people, you know, useful products out of something that would have otherwise become an environmental, catastrophe, so to speak. And so I think that, that little concept alone, if I could actually get that going and turn this into something where, you know, somebody wanted to buy some recycled plastic products or whatever, then, you know, some of the funds off of that could actually go to help do the research into alternative energy. So it's kind of a two-for-one kind of thing there. And the best thing about it is it's not only cleaning up the environment, but it's actually helping to do another thing as well, you know, financially. You know, basically make it so that I can able to keep on making videos and building projects that people can see and benefit from. So this would also open up another type of industry where people, you get the best thinkers of the world, and they go out and you tell them, look, okay, I want you to design me something. Something small, compact, that they could be in every average household, to where if somebody had some plastic, you could take this little machine, maybe like a toaster or something like that, and it would basically grind it down, shrink it up, and form something like a token, you know? Or even to the extent when you go to a video arcade or something like that, be able to, throw this plastic bottle into the deal and get a credit or something like that. There's all kinds of possibilities. You're only limited by your imagination as to how far you could actually take this thing. And see, the best thing about this whole deal is it's something that's achievable by the average Joe. It's not something that you have to rely on some major corporation in order to be able to get this thing going. These machines that this guy is designing, he'll let you download the plans for free. And so if you want to build a little mini factory in your garage or something like that, that you can turn recyclable trash into treasure, then you actually could download these things and get some folks help you build them and get it all up and running, and maybe even possibly give somebody in the neighborhood who doesn't have a job, some form of employment. So on a community-wide basis, in every little village or town or so on down the line, instead of this stuff going into the system as it does right now that could potentially end in disaster down there wherever it ends up, You nip it in the bud before it ever even gets started. So it's not even leaving your community. You're actually reusing that resource. And one of the pluses about that is if you begin to start reusing that resources, it's an unlimited resource right now. But at some point, and people stop you know, basically having a demand for tons and tons and tons of plastic, maybe at some point it'll find its own equilibrium. It'll balance itself out, you know. And so I'm hoping that this little project that I'm talking about will actually inspire other people to use some really creative thinking and ideas and get excited not just about the recycling but about real science and such. And we can start off a trend where people really want to get involved. I mean, they want to get involved. It's actually profitable to get involved. Instead of just throwing the trash into a recycling bin and putting it out there on the curb and it's gone, you never know where it's going. You now know exactly where it's going, and you have full control of that material while it's in your possession. You could turn that into all kinds of useful products. And if you go look at the preciousplastics.com, it's pretty impressive all the different things that they've made out of different types of plastics and stuff. And we're even talking about building materials. This guy makes, square rods, round rods. He makes planks and stuff like that, things that you can actually turn into building materials. One of the things I thought about was, what if you actually take all this recycled plastic and build temporary shelters for people that might find themselves homeless or something, you know? And then using the alternative energy portion, be able to make them self-contained to where they not only, capture water that they can use for, hygiene or whatever, and even drinking, that, it has its own little lighting system and stuff like that. You know, that would take a lot of plastic to build buildings like that, but from what I'm understanding so far, we got more than a lot of plastics. We got more than enough plastics. And there's a lot of things that could be done with them. But if you had these temporary shelters for people, and, they were set in designated areas to where, maybe somebody keep an eye on these folks, make sure they're all right until they can get somewhere to, find some sort of employment. Heck, the doggone place that built the little shelter could actually be a plus for employment for helping them out. You know, hey, the people that built this shelter that I'm staying in are offering a job, and I can go over there and, start earning a living, start getting my life back together and stuff. It's just a thought. But until it's actually put into, some sort of, real plan, that's just it. It just becomes just an idea, just another idea. I'd like to see these solutions actually get played out. Steven said, we know we can break plastic back down to oil with heat and pressure, so I'm just wondering what plasma in the vacuum might do. That's a worthwhile thing to check out. I mean, there's ongoing research into every different possibility. Like I said, you're only limited by your imagination. There's people in, I think it was actually in the UK, that actually took plastic bottles and turned it back into petrol, gasoline. And so there is a use for it. But putting it into the environment's not really necessarily the best idea. Tomas said Greedy would do more recycled stuff, it cheaper. I think I read that wrong or something. Anyway, sorry about that, folks. my brain, I got distracted there for a second. But look, there's people out there who make a lot of money, and all they do is gather up recycled and No, you're not confusing. It's just my brain is going 10 million miles an hour, and it's hard to keep up with everything. I'm watching things happen in front of me. I got four separate computers. See, it's like duct tape and bailing wire here at Shaziz Radio. So I'm watching the broadcasting code over here, and I'm watching messages pop up over there. So I'm actually excited because there's a lot of activity going on. Every time the Knights of the Round Table fires up a show, there's actually something that really occurs. And I'm seeing that, people are starting to get interested in what we're doing here at the Knights of the Round Table, bringing the brilliant minds together to troubleshoot. He said it's not greedy. Greed would do more recycled stuff. It's cheaper. Oh, that's the same kind. See, I'm getting old, folks. But either way, I'm gonna try to do the best I can with what I got to work with. The greedy people out there that are basically exporting it because the system has set it up to make it an incentive to send it off to a different country, out of sight, out of mind, and that way, you know, they'll give these people the full price, whereas the local people who are doing recycling, they're only getting a percentage of the money that could be had for what they, you know, what they actually put out the other side of their factory. You know, that's all they're getting. Tomas says six computers going on. Wow. I don't know how you keep up with all of it, my friend. That's a lot of chores. But anyway, look. If I can do this bottle caps for mad science and I can use other people's trash and recyclables to fund the research, it benefits not just me, but it benefits everybody else for all the different projects that I can put out there, ideas to share with people around the world. And so I think that we can actually solve this thing. If you actually look into different types of businesses and corporations and companies and even the schools for that matter, you would be surprised at how much recyclable trash, reusable, some of which ain't trash, some of it's just short pieces of wood, you know, or wooden planks from pallets or skids, they call them over here, that you know, could be built, used to build something else. My friend Muddy, he built him a shack out of old pallets, old skids. And, you know, I actually able to stay in that doggone thing. But nonetheless, imagine if we had a system built up where companies could sign on and say, look, I'm going to have this amount of, waste product. Well, not necessarily waste, but you understand what I'm saying. Pallets that they can't use, that they need to get rid of, or empty barrels, or empty containers, or cardboard, or even paper for that matter, metals. There's always scrap from industry that, you know, is sometimes, most generally, ends up in the landfill. So if these companies could communicate onto, let's say, a bulletin board that says, oh, look, I got 100 pallets over here, free for whoever wants to come and get them. Now you know there's a resource out there. And if all the companies did that, including the food industry, a lot of food gets wasted. All right? Now, preferably, you could feed people with it before it gets past its legal expiration, where it's still, you know, edible for somebody in a safe manner. But most companies are always afraid of, you know, we're going to get sued or something like that if somebody gets food poisoning or whatever. We could fix all that as well. We need organizers. We need people out there who can actually help companies organize this and troubleshoot problems and figure out a way to, you know, make it so that nothing gets wasted. I like to call that the zero waste project, you know, where even food waste, it would get recycled, because there's things that you can make, you know, once you either compost food waste, or, you know, turn it into methane, or break it down, you know, you can make it environmentally safe or a useful product out of it. You know, things that you could make out of used food, heck, you can make animal feed or something like that, clean it up, you know, cook it up and make it something that it is usable. It drives me insane, folks. I can't understand why it is we have all the answers necessary, but you got to get everybody together as a team in order to make it happen. And I know there's a lot of people out there that would quite literally poo-poo that idea, because you can't get everybody to agree. People are basically spending too much time arguing with each other over who's right, who's wrong, dividing each other by political, racial, or religious ideologies, or, you know, other things, whatever. You got the world is so incredibly distracted and divided amongst each other. How can we get anything accomplished? Well, the hopes is here at the Knights of the Round Table is that we bring brilliant people to the table and put our minds together, and we lead by example. We actually go out into communities and show people there's a solution. Imagine if you had a school and all the trash that's developed in the school, things that are getting wasted. You know, everything from food to papers to plastics, and it all ends up in a landfill. But if you could get that school, one school, excited about it. I mean, look, we're going to turn our plastic not just into toys or reusable products. We're going to turn it into materials that can be made, for building homeless shelters or, even animal shelters for that matter. Little dog houses or something like that. Things that would have otherwise went in the trash and ended up in the landfill are now contained and actually being used and reused. When the shelter gets to the point where, you know, it needs to be replaced, you can grind it back down and build another one. You see what I'm saying? Let's see. Henry Ford stated started Kingsford Charcoal to get rid of pallets. That was a good idea. Even had some cars with built-in charcoal grills. That's a brilliant idea. We put round table in the corner. What? Don't put the round table in the corner. Anyway, so we take all the different possibilities that, I mean, in my mind, there's unlimited possibilities. I need to get Tamaj to join me on Skype and join the round table. I hope I'm TJ Maj. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. If you want to join me on Skype, add me as a user on Skype. Come on here. So if you can get the schools interested in it, and get them all excited about all the different things that we could use, what they normally would have thrown away. Paper goes in one place, and then the doggone plastic goes in another place, and metal goes in another place. All of which, every single bit of it, in aluminum cans from sodas and stuff like that, you could melt them down and make really cool things. You could turn, there's a program they call Home Maintenance and Repair in a lot of schools where you can build things and wood shop would be a place where you could also do plastics as well. They could actually take these recycled materials that they ground them down. They had a little miniaturized plant where they could actually build materials or even make molds and build products and stuff. And it would teach the kids a really valuable lesson about, how valuable this stuff really is. And so if you could get this going on in one school and then get all the other schools excited about replicating that same exact deal, could you imagine how fast that we could actually get the whole plastics thing under control and recycled? There wouldn't be no waste anymore. Companies could profit from it. I support the recycled no waste project, and so other people would want to buy from them. Yeah, you're one of the companies that I respect. If you're helping these kids learn about taking care of their environment and actually instead of sending your trash to a landfill, sending it to someone who needs it. There's free resources out there, folks. And even to the extent of with government involvement, there are all types of different government grants. But I'm not somebody who really understands where to look or who to talk to about it. I do the best I can when I find somebody. I'll ask them, look, is there any government grant available for building a project that would help to help to clean the environment and send our world into a different path? You know, and if you got to fill these papers out just right. I probably have to recruit somebody so that I don't misspell it first off. But you know, get the grant paper wrote up, and when we get a grant, get a team, a dream team together, and take those funds and build the equipment for people who were really seriously interested in, you know, helping out their community. And so, you know, I think that's how we can get this started. I mean, we're paying these taxes anyway. If these grants are available, then maybe we should try to look into them. But that's one of the solutions that could actually benefit the whole world. And if you did this in every nation, if every single community took it upon themselves to build a mini recycling plant in their community, and nothing ever left that community unless it was, we got all this new fresh plastic, there's some people over here that need some of these resources, and you can sell those resources to the neighboring deal. Alright, well, that's alright. Not everybody wants to get on the radio, I can understand that. But, anyway, if now it becomes a plus, now it has some value that you can actually, if somebody's short on plastic over on their side, they want to buy some from you, you could become profitable. You see what I'm saying, folks? But the ideas are limitless. The only thing that we have to resolve is how to get people involved in wanting to make it so. You know what? The PreciousPlastics.com, I really am... excited and inspired about their website. I actually joined their website just so that I could try to talk to everybody and give them more ideas and get more ideas. That's how we share all this information together. It's amazing what we could actually accomplish if we really take the time to really try to do something. All right, I don't believe that we're hopeless. I don't believe we're beyond the point of no return. I know that our environment is struggling. I understand how powerful our environment is, too, that our environment has the capability of cleaning itself up, but I think that it's at the point right now where we actually need to get proactive in helping our planet do what it does naturally. You know, if you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough for it. I'm trying to show people a different way of using energy, but once again, that costs money to build projects and stuff. My internet cost me money, and basically, when I say duct tape and belling wire, I'm serious. I had a friend send me a computer, and wanted parts of the. I got to replace the motherboard on it because it was damaged somehow. But nonetheless, I actually did buy another computer, and so it's helping me out. I'll get it all sorted out. It just takes some time. It takes a little bit of money. Let me see. Oh, great. I got your message, Tamasha. If you're, it says usually good at finding information. That's great. If you're a researcher, you're needed. That's what I love about the people that come in this chat room. You know, Stephen Gibbons. He's put together a resource link at the top of the page for alternative energy researchers and alternative energy devices. It says Stephen's resource page. We need all the researchers we got. But the thing is, basically, every time there's a show, he can find relevant information and put it on the in the chat room for everybody to see. And so, heck, it's people like Stephen Gibbons and all the other Knights of the Round Table that actually make this show what it is, because it's all of us coming together. If I don't know something, somebody can find it, you know. And if we need to know where somebody's in need of something, we can find it. See, this is the amazing portion of this entire deal. This technology we have access allows us to cross international boundaries. We can talk to each other from places where we never would have been able, we wouldn't even have known each other. You know, I wouldn't have known anybody over in Ireland or Scotland or the UK, anywhere in Australia or anywhere else in the world. I wouldn't have known anybody if it hadn't been for this technology. It's too far for me to try to go, you know. But it's amazing how it makes our worldwide family, closer, you know. It gives us the opportunity to talk to each other. And so, Tamash says, usually cheaper to grab a hard drive and buy a new computer. Yes, that's true. I've repurposed a whole lot of old computers. Most of these computers that I got, these are all recycled computers. You know, they started off at the Department of Defense, and then they got transferred down to the school. And when they got outdated for the schools, I inherited a couple of them on the way, you know, when they going on the way out to being recycled and stuff. And so, you know, I could use these to, get some work done. So they didn't go to waste, you know. They didn't go to waste. They didn't go to the trash. But it's amazing. It's literally amazing what you could do if you really put your mind to it. So, my hopes is that with these wonderful people that are at People for People Radio Network and all the other affiliated networks that actually rebroadcast and people listening in on cell phones and all the different ways that they hear the Knights of the Round Table and all these different programs, that, you know, they spread the message. The best thing that you could do to help us out, you know, not trying to ask financially for assistance, anything like that. All I'm saying is if you put a message on your social media networks and say, look, there's some folks over here that's got an awesome idea and they're trying to help resolve problems. And if you see somebody talking about a problem that we've already addressed, send them the podcast. You know, and that helps us out by getting the word out, because there's plenty of room at the round table. Yeah, the DOD usually takes out the hard drives. Well, pretty much nowadays they just wipe them clean, and then the school reloads software on them, and then when the school's done with them, they wipe them clean, and then, you know, actually they'll take out the memory and stuff, you know, basically they would have otherwise went to the recycler, you know, where they've been ground up for whatever, you know, materials are involved in them. But because I worked there and, you know, knew the right people in that deal, and they said that they were going to throw them away anyway, I was able to get a couple of them to help build this network. It's amazing, though. Anyway, so if we get the schools excited about it, recycling, and do this in a method where, you know, now these products actually become something of value. Imagine a little home machine that, you know, maybe even a toy size one that would take a bottle cap and turn it into something cool, you know. Turn it into a toy or something like that. Or little stacking blocks like Legos or something. You know, there's all kinds of possibilities. Once again, it's only limited by your imagination. So, if, you know, you're one of those creative people, and especially, you know, research capabilities, you can help us out by throwing ideas out there on the table that other people will grab and take off and run with. We're so fortunate to be able to have the access to this technology at this point in time. If we could only take and utilize this for a really good purpose. You know, somewhere out there in this world that people are using this technology for the wrong purpose. Just like all the other technologies in the world can be abused. And I don't want to see this world go down the path that it's on. It really concerns me. You know, I want to see us leave, when we leave this world, all of us who are listening right now, when we leave this world, I want to leave it in a really good shape. It's kind of like there are people that will go to campgrounds out there at parks and they will trash the place and leave a mess behind for the next people in line. If everybody does that, eventually it's not a park anymore, it's a dump. And it's shameful. It's sad. It's, it messes up what would have otherwise been beautiful. But then you have people that actually care. When they get there, they see somebody else's mess, they clean it up and they put it in the trash. You know, maybe some actually go farther and recycle the trash left behind. But if everybody really cared, you could get everybody involved. There is nothing that we cannot accomplish if we actually really try to do something with it. You know, when talking about the DOD and government agencies, you realize, folks, that there are tons and tons of surplus machinery and materials available out there that the government just kind of stockpiles because it can't get rid of it? It's true. And so, even having a conversation with your local governments, having a conversation with your local stores and businesses and such, as a community, put out a flyer and get everyone together and say, look, you guys got all these resources that basically you'd like to get rid of, but you don't have any place to send it, and it costs more money than for you to even bother. What if we could set it up so that all these things would go away for free? What if you didn't even have to pay a trash bill anymore? Imagine that. Trash companies might not like it at first, but maybe, possibly, you could hire the trash companies to actually move the stuff. And or benefit the trash companies more. They could separate several different trucks and say, look, we give you clean materials to put in this truck. We'll give you different clean materials to put in that truck, and you can take them over there and turn around and process them and resell them. So you're still going to be making money. So for every negative that you can throw on the table, there's a positive that could be come out about that, where you could actually find solutions for every doggone thing under the sun. Folks, we're so much more amazing than we give ourselves credit for. But the thing is, we got to take that thing that we call free will, and we got to want to do something. We need to roll up our sleeves in every single community. Roll up our sleeves and get involved. If we could design things that people could recycle right straight from their house, recycle, process, send out, like the little token that I talked about. Throw them in a pile. When you get a big enough pile, it now becomes a valuable asset that when they need some extra money, they can go over to this plastic plant because they need extra plastic to make new products and sell it to them. Just like aluminum cans, collecting aluminum cans, and there are places where you can go sell them. When the price of aluminum goes up and down, you can sell them at points when you'll get more money for it. It's not that we can't do it. It's that we got to get people an incentive. Give them a reason why to do it. Well, there's already a reason why to do it. I'm sure you understand that. But to get people actually involved, it seems like an incentive is the best way to go. It's profitable. Now, instead of you paying so much for a trash bill, what if you could not have to pay a trash bill anymore? And it's only, well, I don't know what everybody's trash bill usually runs, but if your trash bill goes away, you don't have a trash bill anymore. So that's more money you can put in your pocket and towards things you need. And then the materials that you would have otherwise thrown in the trash now become a piggy bank. There you go. You see what I'm saying here? There's endless possibilities. And it would unlock a market. It would unlock many markets in many different directions. It would unlock brilliant minds and get people interested in designing, inventing and creating things. If you are a person that's really good mechanically and able, good craftsman with your hands, you could design something that you could put out there on the market that is the better way to recycle your plastic at home. You can recycle, process, and build something that is easily storable or, easily sellable, Turn doggone home into a money-making machine. And with alternative energy research, we can turn your house into a completely self-contained house where it's perfectly insulated. Materials that you build at home might very well be something that you could use for that project right there. You'll be able to build you your own shed or something like that. Be able to do amazing things. You know, there's a lot of different types of uses for plastics. You know, make little garden gates or make little garden fences and stuff like that. It's unlimited of what you could create with your imagination. And even to the extent of things that you normally take for granted or go ahead and buy anyway, wouldn't it be cool to build your own custom-made coaster? Because you had a machine at home that all you had to do is take so many plastic bottles, rinse them out, dry them out, stick them in the machine, press it down, and bam, you got a coaster for your home. Put your drinks on. Build furniture. Unlimited ideas. The whole thing is, I want to start off a trend with this Bottle Caps for Mad Science campaign. I want to try to find all the available resources so that anybody else who sees this campaign and how it's working and how it's getting schools excited will replicate the idea and run with it. That's what I want. You know, what they did at preciousplastics.com, that is to me amazing. That is sheer brilliance. I'm loving every minute of it because it helps our world. It helps nature do what nature does. Tomas says hiding from Shaz and Gaz. All right, well, that's funny. Anyway, so the problem. Now has a workable solution. The question is, how am I going to spread a message around? You know, this is a deal where if a video or something like that is really good, it'll go what they call viral, and it'll get tons and tons and tons of views. And then next thing you know, sometimes mainstream medias will get this doggone video, and they'll want to interview the people involved in the thing. And that puts yet even more people to the table that can hear the information. I ain't never had a video ever go viral. Some people say it's because I make them too long, or maybe I just make terrible videos. I don't know. But nonetheless, if any message ever went viral, it'd be one like this that I'd like to go. You know, Bottle Caps for Mad Science. I'm going to fund my research with other people's trash just to show them how it is possible for us to help clean our environment, to build jobs and strengthen communities and get clean, renewable, alternative energy. Everything that they ask for. Everything. I mean, they said they need a clean, renewable, alternative energies. Green energy, free energy, you know, sustainable, all the different. You've heard all the terminology. You've heard it all. They say we need to protect the environment. Well, I agree. We need to protect the environment. And we need, good sustainable energy. But we don't have to go about it like we've been going about it. Where you got people out there trying to basically hijack everyone's finances and charge them carbon tax for bogus science and such. You know, it's just, to me, ridiculous that the things that the government gets by with and the things that the mainstream media gets by with and the things that the doggone, corporations and the companies get by with, even if you're a small company, if you're throwing garbage down the creek, you know that's not right. If you're dumping things down the drain that you know you shouldn't go down the drain, you know that's not right. And there's people out there that would use that, recycle it, and it would not go to waste. I quite literally knew a guy who went around to all the salvage yards. Every time they take a vehicle apart, they pull the gas tanks out of them. A lot of times these fuel tanks have anywhere from a quarter to a half to a full tank of gas in them. And so what are you supposed to do with that? This one particular individual is actually reselling the gas and got in trouble for it. But nonetheless, it was a resource that was basically being wasted. All that fuel could have actually been, and he did. He filtered it. It was a cheap fuel, but also taking the metals and going to the recycler. If you know how to process this metal, you can take it down to the scrap yard, and it's made out of good metal. Let's see, I think most climate change is natural. I agree. And we're not helping, though. I agree to some extent. We're not helping. You know, if you go to the country, stand on a hill and look out. All right? You're going to see fresh air everywhere. Go near a city, stand on a hill and look in. Same thing. You're going to see, there's going to be a big old murky cloud. We pollute on a local level to and what we do to our waterways and such like that, and allowing things to get down in there, it's not beneficial. That there's no material that man's ever made that nature can't break down. Now maybe it takes a little longer for some materials to break down as opposed to other materials, and maybe by changing the chemistry to the extreme in this general vicinity, you would actually cause a problem that could, cause wildlife, worst case scenario, to die. And we got to stop that, But once we get to the point where we understand that there ain't nothing that needs to be wasted, and we can re-engineer our automobiles, that even if we are running fossil fuels, they'll run so clean, it's ridiculous. And, all the different other, when you talk about like antifreezes and oils and things like that, all that could be recycled, every single bit of it. There's nothing out there that can't be recycled. Nature recycles everything, including us. But nonetheless, the solutions are there, but you got to get the ideas into the hands of the right people, into the minds of the right people. You got to get the average Joes interested. You got to get the schools interested. You got to get the businesses interested. Heck, if you got a good incentive for a business to want to recycle, maybe there's a tax break that they can get. Look, if you take this this stuff that you normally would have sent off to the landfill, and instead of sending it off to the landfill, give it to this company over there that will use those materials and recycle them, just give it to them. Then we'll give you a tax break on your business. Ideas like that. And if you get all these companies talking back and forth to each other, hey, look, I got all this this cardboard over here. It's getting in my way. Do you need it? There will actually be another business, because people need to transport this. And so you'll have a resource transportation. A company will call up Resource Transportation and they'll say, yeah, I got all this cardboard. Such and such company over here needs this cardboard. Can you pick it up? Yeah, okay, bam, there you go. Somebody else has got another job, and all they got to do is take this material to the company that needs it, or to the home business that needs it, or to the home community that needs it. So, all these things, including food waste, nothing gets dumped down in the ravine, nothing gets thrown away. The No Waste Project is the concept of where everything is accounted for. It's accounted for. It's reused. Nothing gets wasted. And this one little idea, look. When I got this bottle cap, I got this little red Coca-Cola bottle cap in my hand. All right? Now, most people look at that bottle cap, and of course, I can use it to put it on my soda so my soda don't spill out or whatever. But I see a whole lot more from this one bottle cap. I see a concept that could quite literally save our planet, save our world that we live in, to get us back into working in peace and harmony with nature. I see, if you take that one little bottle cap and you just don't really think much about it, then that ain't nothing. But if you take that one bottle cap and you follow in your mind where it could potentially lead the future of humanity, then you got something. You got an idea. And if you get that idea out there into the world, then that idea will expand and it'll grow and other people will see from it. Now, like light bulbs will start coming on. Wow, you know, not only can I do this with that, but I can do this as well. And this actually solves my material problem over here. And then you start getting into people's mindset of people that are actually at home. Do you realize how many people in this world have clothing that they don't wear anymore? Some people take the time to go and put it to, through a washer and fold it up and take it to, donation centers and, put it into people who need it. You know, donate it to somebody. But others don't. It ends up in landfills. And what a shame that there's a good, nice, beautiful shirt that somebody needs a new shirt in this world and they can't afford it. And you just threw one away because it didn't fit anymore. Tomas says, can also reuse the bottle, wash it out, and fill use as a water bottle. Yeah. Heck, we recycle bottles around here all the time. We fill them up for emergency water, you know. But they're good containers. And when I'm in my mad science lab, I'll use little plastic containers for things like putting screws in. And if you get creative about it, you can build a shelf and you can screw the lid of the cap to a piece of board, and then you can put all your screws in it and then screw that jar or whatever up into that lid, and it'll hold it there. You can see what's in the jar. And it's easily accessible when you want to get a screw or something to work with. It's amazing what we could do. It's just amazing. So, I'm hoping that something I say here inspires you enough to want to share this particular podcast. Because I love this world. I love the people in this world. I want to make this a better place for everybody. You know? And I'm just one man. I can't fix the world by myself. I'm just one piece of the puzzle. But if you add your piece of the puzzle with mine, we got a corner of that picture going on. And if you take the Knights of the Round Table and you put all these pieces of it, you got a bigger piece of the picture going on. See, I believe that our Creator, however you believe we got here, put something in every single one of us. We're all a piece of the puzzle. We all have a talent, a gift. We got more amazing things about us. Even you personally, you're a one of a kind. There's no one else like you. No one who can say things like you do or act like you do. There might be some that are similar, but there will never ever be another you. That makes you special. That makes you very important. And without you, the world loses a piece of that puzzle. If we could get that through our minds and understand that one piece of the puzzle can never make the big picture, but every piece of the puzzle, we can all finally see clearly now what it was all about to begin with. Working together hand in hand with each other, working together in harmony with nature, it is an achievable goal. We can quite literally, if we choose to do so, bring about a heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak. I mean, we've been given everything. We've been given each other. Looks like Barry is around here. Hold on, I was trying to read something there. You know, I'm thinking I'm gonna try to take a quick music break and try to address something real quick. Folks, we have all the answers. All we gotta do is choose to use them. I'm gonna play a pretty cool little song here. Something about this song I like.
Aziz the Terrible. All Earth were kingdoms, Shazam the Terrible, and the Knights of the Round Table.
So, what are we talking about today? We're talking about the trash planet. We're going to turn our planet into a pile, a heap of trash. It's like Madam Trash Heap. I don't know if you all have seen that. Madam Trash Heap is actually a pile of trash that talks to these little creatures, and it's pretty amazing. Anyway, I don't want to turn our planet into a trash heap. But what I do want to do is try to inspire people to understand that every single thing out there in this world has value. And that with that value, now you have incentive to want to do something positive for the world. Help clean the environment up and help start new businesses and get communities working together. That's what the Bottle Caps for Mad Science campaign is all about. And so I posted a link into the chat room, Bottle Caps for Mad Science, HTML, over there at shaziz.net. And if you want to go over there and read in on it, you'll find that there's a video there, preciousplastics.com. I want to try to be able to either build these things, build me a little miniature factory like this, or... you know, hire some folks to actually get some of these going. I want to build a little miniature plastics plant like this so that I can do something cool to show the local school in my neighborhood what you could actually do with recycling and get them excited and inspired about not just science, but about recycling as well and other issues. Like I said, when I'm holding that one little bottle cap in my hand, to most folks it's just a bottle cap. No big deal, you know, but I look to what this thing could actually accomplish. It's like that positive pebble in the pond thing that I keep talking about. You throw that pebble out there in the pond and those ripples, they just go all the way across there. Every single living creature in that pond knows that something just occurred when you throw that positive pebble in there. Hopefully it's a good thing. You know, you can throw negative pebbles out there as well. You could probably throw a brick in the pond, probably knock out a few creatures or whatever, but that's not a plus, that's a negative, so we don't want to do that. But anyway, check it out. My plan is to teach people how to turn trash into a real solution, get the world excited about recycling and mad science while raising funds for my renewable energy research. That's what I like to do, my electricity alternative energy research. But all of this stuff takes money. You know, and while I'm not sitting here trying to ask everybody, I don't need you to send me your money. What I need you to do is send me your people. I need you to send brilliant minds and people that want to either share resources with each other or get together and do hands-on and help things out to make things happen, to lead by example. And I said also, let's see, where if I can inspire others with what I have to share and bring them together for a common goal to solve the problems of our world using what would have otherwise been trash, then I believe we together can fix this world and leave a beautiful home for all the future generations to come. I do believe in the dream with all that I am. Together we can do amazing things and build a better world, one positive pebble at a time. That's what it's all about, folks. That's what it's all about. Somebody, Tomas said dynamite fishing. That's probably not it's probably not legal in most jurisdictions, I'm sure, but that's probably not too friendly for doggone fish. It'd stink to be a fish in that pond. Give you a headache. So Raymond, how you doing, brother?
Fantastic. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Alright, I got my headset on so my heater doesn't interfere. Hey, you know, something amazing just happened here recently, in the past few months, or the past year. Beer companies have, instead of making cans, well, they're still making cans with the pop tops on them and so forth, they've started making, beer containers that are shaped like the old beer bottle.
Yeah.
And they're made out of aluminum. And they're extruded aluminum. So they have no seam.
Cool.
You know, I got looking at one of these things and I got to thinking about the Mento wheel. you know, where you take a liquid, it boils at a very low temperature, and it creates a little pressure and pushes the liquid from one container to another and causes the wheel to turn. These containers are absolutely fantastic for that particular project because they're small, giving more surface area to per molecule of the your fluid. I mean, it's unbelievable. And they will take a good pressure amount to them. And I've been experimenting with them, and they're fantastic. Well, I mean, you're talking about recycling stuff. I mean, come on, man. Recycling aluminum beer bottles or beer cans, you're talking less than a penny a piece. Where in reality, if you used it in its condition, you know, the way it is, actually use it to do something else with, you could actually gain power out of this thing.
Yeah.
And reduce the cost of building the Mento wheel drastically. I mean, all you'd have to do is get a bunch of beer drinkers together and say, hey, look, why take your beer cans, bottles to the dump, I mean, rather to the scrapyard, and sell them for 3/4 of a cent a piece? I'll give you 2 or 3 cents a piece for them. Well, and that's exactly what I'm going to do.
There you go.
This thing, actually, they're 16 ounces. The one I've got in my hand right now is 16 ounces. Water weighs 1 pound per 16 ounces, so that's 1 ounce per of weight per 1 ounce of water, correct?
Well, I'm not the math whiz. I'm the mechanical guy.
You're the electronics guy. I'm the mechanical guy.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying. I'm talking about the mechanics of how the Mento wheel works, or actually the dipping bird, you know, the one that uses the chemical that has a very low boiling point where the slightest bit of warmth at the bottom causes the pressure, pushes the fluid up, throws the bird off balance, he dips down, drops the fluid back down into it, the hot gases go up in it and cools. And what I'm trying to say is what you're talking about, repurposing, not to the point of you're actually recycling, you're taking what exists and putting it to a better use. A good use.
Well,
not necessarily better, but a good use.
That's another.
You don't even have. The thing is, you don't even have to change these.
Yeah, I get
it. You do nothing to them but fasten to a piece of pipe.
I get it.
You know?
I get it, and that's another part of the whole recycling because, you know, even in doing crafts products and stuff like that, if you can repurpose something, you don't have to go through the whole full process of recycling. But the thing is, I want to take this a lot further. I want to start a movement with it, you know, to where people are not just benefiting, you know, by being able to repurpose things. You know, it's obvious that if you ain't having to dig as many resources out of the ground, that it's always going to be better for the environment. But I'm talking about to the extent where you get people really incentivized and inspired to want to do these kind of things, to want to recycle, to want to repurpose, you know, and to actually create jobs in communities and bring communities together, because one community doing this, next community over, if they see, hey, look how these folks are doing this, and they start doing it. You know, if I'm short on plastics or cardboard, I can call my neighboring community over, hey, you guys got any plastics or cardboard that we can buy from you or whatever? But you could quite literally turn trash into useful products. You could quite literally turn trash into money, the equivalent of money. You see what I'm saying?
That's exactly what I'm talking about. You're taking trash, somebody's beer bottle, aluminum beer bottle, and you're turning it into a useful product that will make electricity, it will turn a saw wheel, it'll do all kinds of work.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about taking what you're saying and just adding to it.
Yeah.
You take somebody's trash is another man's treasure.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is these beer bottles, they're perfect for all kinds of uses, not just a Mento wheel. There are all kinds of uses to these things, well, other than just throwing them away.
The whole idea is that you're only limited to your imagination, what you can think of.
Exactly.
You know? And so, you know, with that said, I want to see how far we can actually take it. I got a bottle cap in my hand, and this one little bottle cap sparked an idea in me. And if I can get that same little bottle cap to spark an idea in the next person, imagine, nobody would have ever thought that this little bottle cap right here could be so profound. But I'm going to take this bottle cap, and I'm going to make a really fancy display case out of recycled materials. I mean, a really nice one. And then I'm going to turn around. Hold on a second. Listen. I'm going to turn around, and I'm going to save this one bottle cap. And if I'm successful in what I want to do, when it's all said and done, I'm going to offer this bottle cap to somebody out there in a nice little display case so that they can have the very first bottle cap that started off this idea. What do you think?
I like it. But the thing is, what you're saying is that you're talking about the bottle cap and to excite somebody's idea or get somebody thinking their ideas. Well, that's exactly what your bottle cap did for me. So I'm just carrying it one step further.
Well, there you go.
That's all.
That's the whole deal. That's what I love about the Knights of the Round Table. An idea comes to the table, people don't just drop that idea. They take that idea and they run with it. They sparks off more ideas. So we could go in a million different directions and come up with a million different awesome ideas. But until people actually start using these ideas, it's just an idea. You know, it's just a concept.
Well, that's the point I'm trying to make. I took your idea, expanded on it. It got me thinking. The bottle cap was on a bottle. Well, can we use the bottle cap? Yeah. Well, what did we do with the bottle? So I'm taking the bottle cap and giving them to you, and I'm going to use the bottle. Yep. I mean, you know, I'm just expanding on what you're trying to say. That's all.
That's awesome. That's what I want. That's all I ever ask from anybody.
You know, the thing is with me, she says somebody comes up with a good idea that I have never. I mean, almost 75 years of living on this earth, I don't really remember a single time I've ever come up with a totally new idea.
Well,
but I have hundreds of times expanded on somebody else's idea.
Since you said that, while I was out in the process of doing research for my bottle cap for mad science idea, I stumbled across preciousplastics.com. Dave over there at preciousplastics.com is doing something amazing. He's not only getting people inspired to, recycle plastic, but he's getting other people involved in the deal. He is actually designing and building recycling plants that the average Joe can afford to replicate. And he lets you download the diagrams that he also shows you in YouTube videos how to actually construct. And if you don't know how to weld, then you probably got somebody in your neighborhood who does know how to weld. But he lets you download a kit. He has tutorials. He has machines to show you. He's got a grinding machine that grinds plastic. He's got a extruder and an injection machine. He's got a mold and everything needed. He's got forums where you can get in there and talk with other people who are doing the same thing and communities. It's a pretty amazing little website he's got going on, preciousplastics.com. And I stumbled onto him while trying to. So mine was an original idea, but I just want to try to take it a little further and try to help what he's done at the same exact time. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Right. You know, in my research on the Mento wheel, I ran across a website on YouTube. It's amazing. The guy's playing around, but what he's doing is testing. Well, he saved me weeks and weeks of time and hundreds of dollars in material to experiment because I'm thinking the Mento wheel can work on air because air has weight. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right, the guy's name is Bill Gilmore. If anybody interested in air pressure, air has weight. If you don't believe me, take an empty, your spare tire, empty all the air out of it, weigh it, and fill it up to the proper pressure and weigh it again. It will weigh many pounds more. So air has weight. So if you take a Mento wheel and just fill it with compressed air and run it on heat, it's a heat engine. It'll run. And it will make power to do work.
Well,
and you can take that work and then, I mean, that's why I'm saying these little old beer bottles, they'll hold 100 pounds of pressure or more, and you figure you're roughly 15 pounds per atmosphere. So if you fill it up to say 150 psi, you're talking 10 atmospheres.
Yeah,
well, that's a lot of weight.
Outside of all that, imagine what it would be like if every household did not have to pay a trash bill anymore.
Right. And I mean, think about this. I mean, you're talking air, just plain air and an air compressor and a bunch of trash beer bottles, and you're going to build something that's really cute, looks nice, sit out in your front yard as an ornament, and the whole time it's sitting out there, it's making electricity off of sun power.
Well, there's all kinds of ideas and solutions that could come
out
of that. So, basically, somewhere out there in this world, out there in the ocean, there's this giant trash heap that they say is about 3 times the size of France. That's pretty doggone big. That's a lot of trash. And how are we ever going to get that under control if we constantly keep on putting trash to it? I mentioned earlier, when people go to the beach, some people are respectful of the beach and nature, and they pick up their trash before they leave, you know. But sometimes they don't. And other times it might not be that they was necessarily, sloppy or, slobs or even lazy for that matter. Maybe they already did put it in the trash, and then a big wave comes in there and sucks the trash out to sea. But if you, outside of what nature's already accidentally done or whatever, if you get this product under control from the get-go, from right at your house, you got brilliant individuals who's engineering nifty little toys that kids can actually take a bottle cap and stick this bottle cap in there, and either pressure or whatever causes this thing to smash down, or strategically cut it into something that is really cool. You get people interested in that kind of deal. If you got a machine that you can, about the size of a toaster, that you can put your plastic bottle in there after you wash it and dry it, stick it in there, and turn, push the button, and it'll melt it down into some useful product. Who knows? Maybe it'll take one bottle cap and turn it into a whole bunch of toothpicks or something. I don't know.
There you go.
You're only limited by your imagination. But if you get people started, if you get people started now, that trash pile won't get any bigger out there. We can actually go out there and pull those resources in, because they are. They're valuable resources. We can get them out of the ocean. We can get them out of the creeks. We can get them. You don't need to go to the landfill anymore. Won't be no need to really make a whole lot more plastic. I mean, of course, you're going to have new plastics here and there, but, from food grade kind of stuff. But if you can turn this into a house for somebody, for, a homeless, temporary homeless shelter for somebody to keep them out of the cold or the weather, imagine that.
Right.
And then you add some sustainable alternative energy device to that that'll keep lights for them and a fan or whatever. It's like I said, we're only limited by our imagination. How far can we take an idea that came from something as simple as a little bottle cap? That's it.
Right.
I do believe in the dream. I believe it's possible that we can actually fix this world. If I can actually get one idea to roll out there and spark another idea. See, look, folks, it only takes one spark to start a forest fire. That's it. One. And all the devastation that thing would cause. But even after that doggone forest fire, nature has something amazing going on. Once that doggone forest fire, you just clean that entire area up, but nature comes back in and makes it more beautiful than it was before. It's amazing how that happens.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
So, I call lightning nature's tree trimmer. When lightning hits in a forest somewhere, or, the woods, woods, if you look at them, they get overgrown, and there's vines in every direction, and it's all like weeds and some dried trees and all that. Well, then nature strikes that thing with lightning, and next thing you know, it burns off an area and cleans it up, and you go back in there, and it looks really awesome. I'm not saying going out start forest fires, I know what I'm talking about, but the information I'm trying to get out is that one idea could start an idea that would grow and grow and grow, and in a positive manner as opposed to what we've seen so far. Now, the government's out there, they're only going to do what they have to get paid, all right? They're going to do what they have to stay in business. But you can't blame it on the governments, and you can't just rely on the governments of the world to do things. Some of the folks that are involved in governments are corrupt. That's obvious. And they want to stay in power. And so they got agendas. They're going to do whatever they want to do. It's like the trash recycling thing. It turned into a disaster. You know, the British people sent their trash to recyclers thinking it's going to be made into useful products. There were companies that were trying to recycle this and refine it and make new products. And then there were other companies that their only task was to export it to China. Well, in the process of this, some of the companies cut corners and sent garbage to China. So when China got it, they were obviously upset, and for just cause. And so they said, well, we're not going to take any more of your recycled stuff. Well, you're sending us garbage. And I don't blame them one bit. And anybody's got anything bad to say about China, you know, I'm going to have to sort you out, because it's not China's fault. China's trying to do what they can do for their country, and that the materials that you send them, if you're sending them garbage and they can't use it, why would they want to buy it from you? It's flat out. But nonetheless, the system was set up so that it was hindering the person who was local trying to keep the materials recycled local, used local, and then it ended up going to the doggone through the system where people were getting paid more to export it than the people were who were actually doing it right there locally. So it was counterproductive, but also opened the door for corruption, for people to be able to ship China their garbage and make a lot of money, because the government subsidies were actually paying the exporters more money than they were the people who were trying to do it for their own community, which don't make any sense. So you got to get that sorted out with your governments. Make sure that if anybody's going to benefit, it's going to be the person who is doing it the right way, who's not trying to ship garbage to a foreign country and not only pollute their land. You know, there were people out there in recycling that relied on this recycled plastic. And to them, it was gold. You know, you got this material coming in that you can turn into all kinds of stuff. But then they suddenly started getting sent garbage, things with biohazard waste plastics in it, or metals, or paper, or whatever. And now they got to deal with it. They got to pay somebody to try to sort it. And it's too time-consuming and expensive for them to be able to do that. So now they got tons and tons of wasted plastic that somebody sent them that they can't use. And then you have other communities over there that children are quite literally crawling through the dump to try to sort out plastics so that they can earn a living. And it's sad, because now they're getting sick, and they're getting, you know, who knows what all's in that trash. You know, and if you did this the right way, you would solve that problem for them. And all the resources that we have available, we can uplift their community without having their children dig through the trash. We can uplift their community without having companies and corporations and exporters send garbage to these nations that now becomes their problem, that now becomes their environmental hazard. It's a shame. It's a shame. to Mosh says, impeach everyone. I agree. Let's impeach them all. Let's impeach the entire government and tell them, look, we're going to put some people in there to really have good ideas and want to get things done. You know, that's why they need term limits on government. They need to make sure there ain't no career politicians, because career politicians become corrupt. You know, nobody can deny that. It happens all the time. Stephen Gibbons said, somebody should do something about that. When peeps realize that is somebody, something might get done. That's it. We need the average Joe to realize that they are the solution. We the people are the solution. If you got that trash in your hand, you got a choice what to do with it. You can follow it through the process and ensure it goes to the right place, or you can just hope that somebody else will do the job for you. But if we build machines to where it's done right there on site, and then at the end of the month, you go empty out that material into the recycler deal, they will pay you for premium material. This bottle right here, the bottle cap in my hand right now, is premium material. It's clean. It's made out of HDPE plastic, and it's normally there's like seven different numbers that are on these deals, and by the number will tell you what type of plastic it is, but it's premium, it's clean, and it's ready to be ground up and turned back into another useful product, you know, or I can recycle it as a bottle cap, whatever, repurpose it. I've done so much with bottle caps you wouldn't believe, you know. It's just, it's not trash. It's a you know, useful product. It's something that can be repurposed. But the whole concept of the Knights of the Round Table, Mad Science Show, YouTube channel for Shaziz, Mad Science, and all this Facebook and Twitter and everything, I turned this social media into a platform to where we can talk to each other. We can share ideas. We can try to get some sort of momentum going on so that people are inspired to do the same. That's it. That's the best I got, Raymond. I can't do any better than what I've been doing so far.
You know, what you're doing is building a bed of nails. One nail, but doesn't make a bed, but you take 10 pounds of nails and drive them through a piece of plywood, you've got a bed of nails, and you can lay on it. But you get on one nail and it's going to go through you. Yeah. What you're doing is you're building a bed of nails, but you're building your bed of bottle caps. I mean, it's the same thing. One bottle cap is useless, but 1,000, 1,000,000, 10,000,000 bottle caps? How many bottle caps do they make every day?
Well, see.
What can you do with them?
What I'm talking about, one bottle cap is not useless. This one bottle cap inspired me to build an idea, to expand on a dream. And I need to fund my research so I can build more things to share with the people. I need to be able to do videos. I need to be able to keep the internet and all that going. I need to be able to basically support Mad Science where I don't want to ask people for help. If they're going to throw this in the trash anyway, and I can turn it into a revenue source and a teaching source and a way by which to clean up our planet source, then to me, this one bottle cap is priceless. You see what I'm saying?
It is representative. Representative of what you want to do.
Yeah.
The bottle cap itself is not worthless, but by itself, totally by itself, if somebody, anybody with no imagination would see it as worthless. That's one of the point I was trying to make.
Yeah, but if I...
One ant cannot move a tree.
It's what I choose to do with this is going to determine its value.
Exactly.
But as it stands right now, it's worth its weight in plastic. Literally.
Literally, yes.
So, I can turn this into a token, and that token could be used at a special store where you can buy other things made out of plastic with the value of this. So if it takes me 10 tokens worth of weight to equal a fly swatter, and I want a little bit of time, I want a little bit of extra value for my services, then I'll say, okay, it took me 10 bottle caps to make this. I want 15 bottle caps for this fly swatter.
Now you're talking. You're talking reality here. I love it.
So, there you go. You see what I'm saying? These are not crazy ideas. These are ideas that if you actually think about it long enough, you turn what would have otherwise been trash into literal money.
Yep.
A value source. An incentive. Yep. Why is Barry saying there's no live show? We're broadcasting. Throw Barry up in there. I have to get Barry in here. You don't talk about there ain't no live show. Are you?
What's the name of that website that you were looking at? Something other plastics?
PreciousPlastics.com. I will copy and post a link into the Skype for you after I add Barry.
Thank you.
Barry's out there trying to tell people there ain't no live show today. He ain't listening. What in tarnation's going on? Maybe he's got a computer problem. I gotta find that boy. Where in the heck is he at? I was do the search thing. Barry. Alright, we're gonna add Barry in there. Alright, so while I'm trying to get Barry on the line, I will find that link for you, Raymond. But, look. Boy, what are you talking about? There ain't no live show. I can hear myself echoing your background, so I know you're there.
Who are you talking to, me?
Yeah, you.
I just tuned in. I don't know what you're talking about or what's going on, but I just joined. So
Barry puzzled in the chat room, said, no live show, ?
Well, yeah, I didn't think you were doing a live show. It sounded like a recording.
Oh, well, I'm going to have to work on my charisma or something. I assume. We're talking about, basically recycling bottle caps for mad science, where I'm going to actually use people's trash to fund research into alternative energy and hopefully inspire future youth to want to be incentivized, is that it? Is that the right word there? To give them the incentive to want to get involved in recycling. What do you think?
Well, that's a good idea. I really just kind of, like I said, just joined the show, so I'm just drinking my coffee here. I'm just kind of waking up here. Let me catch up with you guys in a minute here.
Yeah, listen in and then jump in when you feel like it. Meantime, mute your mic.
Okay, I'll mute my mic for a minute here.
All right. So, anyway, we got a live show going on, folks. And so, anyway, the whole idea is to bring the world together and to build a better world one positive pebble at a time. I got only so many resources available to me, and I'm trying to expand on that so that I can bring this a little further than just an idea. I don't want to just be one of those people that talk about it. I build things. I really do. And then I go out and I try to recruit the best talent to help me build things, to make it not only work good, but look good, be precision, and so that when I share it with you on my YouTube channel, unlike the old days where I repurposed all kinds of old electronics and showed you different things that had to do with electricity and wireless energy and all that kind of stuff, that was all built out of recycled junk. And if you can build that kind of stuff out of recycled junk, imagine what you could do with access to a machine shop and brilliant people that have the capabilities of running those machines. We build a dream team in every single community, and we got exactly what we need to fix this world. What's that noise there, Raymond?
Oh, it's me digging through my drawer here in my desk.
Well, when you dig through your drawers, mute your mic.
Yeah, I tell you what, I got sensitive microphones over here.
I'm telling you, that's a good microphone. What brand is that so we can get everybody else to get one?
Oh boy, I can't think of the name of it right now. My camera and the microphone on the headset, both of them are unreal. If Nat sneezes, you can hear it.
Well, we don't need to hear Nat sneezing. We're trying to run a radio show, man. I know we're duct taping bailing wire around here, but
it's almost like I have to hold my breath.
Yep. Let's see, Steve said, to be classified sane in an insane world means you were technically insane, so maybe that's why, TJ. Oh, he was answering somebody else. if you're going to put a message out for me that you want me to read on the air, just say, hey, Shaziz, say this. All right, and I'll try to say it, as long as it's nice. I don't want no foul-mouth heathenism, especially coming out of me. I get riled up once in a while. I'm only human. Come on. All right, but we're going to try to fix this world, and we can't fix this world with foul mouth heathenism and corruption. And, you know, I don't want to be the Darth Vader of mad science. I want to be like the Luke Skywalker of mad science. You know, I want to do it the right way. I want to be on the right side of things when everything's worked out. So, you got any ideas there, Raymond? I know you got ideas.
I got a ton of them. I mean, what I'm trying to do is do things that other people have done and try to make it easier to build and cheaper to build. I'm not as worried about efficiency as I am ease to build and build it out of existing materials. I mean, things that junk, stuff that other people consider trash.
Yeah. Well, you know, we got an environmental disaster going on in the world. I don't think we're beyond the point of fixing it. But if we don't get started, that trash heap is going to keep getting bigger.
Exactly.
Before too long, we're going to live in a world of trash. We're going to be living in Madam Trash Heap's backyard. And Madam Trash Heap will be the new president. All right?
Right.
We don't need that.
You know, there's so many things that are, I mean, big things that are considered trash. For example, like I said, these beer bottles. I mean, you know, I don't want to dwell on that. But think about this a minute. What about the throwaway, the disposable fire extinguishers? The trash dump gets loads of those every day.
Well, yeah, you know what? There's industries out there. It doesn't matter which company out there. If you go out to any company, they got packing materials. They got pallets and skids. They got glass products. They got paper products. They got all kinds of stuff that they throw in a dumpster. Go to construction sites. Same exact thing. And whenever one company decides to close its doors, you would be surprised at what they throw in the trash that ends up in the doggone landfill. Now imagine if you had a situation where this company could call up and say, well, we're getting ready to go out of business. We're getting ready to throw away these things right here. As opposed to them going to landfill, would you like us to have somebody bring them over to you, or can you come and get them? You see what I mean? Now, companies aren't wasting anything. That's what I call the no-waste project. You know, if we could get companies to interact with each other and including individuals who want to maybe start up a business. You know, there are people out there who make money by going around selling barrels to people. You know, trash barrels or big steel drums that industry got to get rid of. Or plastic barrels, for that matter. There's all kinds of repurposes for everything. And so with that said, if you had a situation where you had a bunch of organizers that could get out there and talk to companies and say, look, we know you got all this big old giant dumpster out here full of all these different things right here. Would you be opposed to, instead of having to pay a bill to have that go away, if we could make that go away for you for free? Because somebody in this world needs what's in your trash. And if we already know ahead of time, before your trash even gets out there, you'll have a demand for your trash and you won't have to pay to have it hauled off. That includes the home trash as well. If you got it set up so that the home itself is actually profiting from their own trash, imagine that. You know, that would inspire people to build machines that would be like a garbage disposal or a dishwasher style machine that would take and refine your plastics into maybe a little cube or something like that, which is now premium raw material that you could then in turn sell to a plastic company to recycle and make more products. Or take it to your community and they got materials to make more products. You see what I mean?
I see exactly what you mean. But what about the plastic stuff that they make nowadays to build decks out of?
Same thing.
I mean, you can do that.
Same thing.
You just get enough plastic trash. Well, you get people to bring their trash to a disposal place to dispose of plastic.
Enough plastic trash. Raymond, not only is the landfills filled up with it, all the recycling places are stocked up with it. People who are exporting it into other countries are stocked up with it. If you can't find plastic, you're blind. So
really?
The key, like you said, though, is to get people involved to want to take this from, instead of throwing it in the trash, actually take it to a place where they know it is going to be reused. You see what I mean?
Yes, sir.
And if you incentivize people by doing this, instead of actually having a trash can at your local grocery store, you have several containers. One for paper, which is degradable that you could actually compost. One for plastic, one for metal. And whenever these people, when they go up to this doggone store, and they buy something, they drink it, and then they're getting ready, instead of throwing it in the trash separately, they take their little card, they put it in this machine, and when they throw paper in one, everything's fine. When they throw plastic in the other, and so on down the line, when they separate all these materials, it puts a credit on that card that they can then in turn save up like a piggy bank. So every time that they go to buy something and they do the same thing, they can go in there one of these days and take that same card, run it through the cash register, and get a free meal or something. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Now you give them a reason to want to do that, because, hey, it's profitable. Heck, other people be out there picking up other people's trash and throwing it in there, stacking up their card. Remember what we talked about by the bottle that had to return for deposit?
Yeah.
When they had a return for deposit, you couldn't find those bottles anywhere. All the kids done snatched them up.
You know, you're talking about plastic. We really need Thomas Anderson on this show right now, because that man knows how to take plastic, certain types of plastic, and for pennies, turn it into gasoline. Now think about this. Gasoline sells right now for roughly $2.50 a gallon, right?
Yep.
A gallon of gasoline is 4.5 pounds. You take 5 pounds or 5.5 pounds of plastic, turn it into 1 gallon of gasoline, right?
Yeah.
It's got value.
But everything's got value, so that's why I'm saying, even to the extent of somebody scraping off their plate and washing it and then putting all the food waste in one side, there is a recyclable resource right there.
What I'm trying to say is the economics of it, okay? What you got? You got 5 pounds of plastic, okay?
Yeah.
It can be turned in to $2.50 worth of gasoline. But now somebody's got to turn this into gasoline. So what is the plastic really worth? It's worth about 50 cents.
Well, there you go. But
think about this a minute. You're talking 10 cents a pound here. Come on.
Well, either way, a lot of people don't want to take the doggone time to do things the right way. But if they're...
Wait a minute. All right, hold up a minute. Let's go to economics. What about this aluminum beer bottle? It's worth less than a penny a pound, but there's thousands and thousands of people all over the United States saving empty beer cans.
Yeah.
Why don't they save their plastic? It's worth more.
That's what I'm saying. Tomas says they're too poor to pay attention.
There are certain plastics, okay, scrap, that done, treated properly, are worth 4 to 5 times what scrap aluminum is worth.
All right, well,
if you treat it right.
I get it, but my point is this. In order to make sure that you get a premium recyclable, you incentivize the people by giving them something for their efforts to take that and put it in there. And like what I was talking about, the bottle...
That's exactly what I just said, Steve.
Yeah, but listen.
You've got to put a value to it, or otherwise nobody's going to do it.
It all
boils down to Tesla not wanting to put a meter on his damn machine. That's why he could not get any financing.
Yeah, I get all that.
If you can't put a meter on it, if it doesn't have value, then duh.
I get
you
all
can't
that.
Give
and
it
I,
away.
And I get all that. And
what a value.
And I'm giving the solution.
All right.
I'm giving the solution. All right?
All right.
This piece of plastic can be turned into a lot. And it could actually
be turned
into the equivalence of money. Nonetheless.
Exactly.
Nonetheless, if we take this concept and we expand on it to the extreme, then every single person who has this one specific card that says for recycling benefits card or something like that, a company could run with that, all right? A company could take that one recycled card that's actually made out of recycled plastic and use it like a doggone credit card. Every time somebody put their trash in the right deal, then they got rewarded for it. All right, now you tell me anybody, because I know there's people out there right now that go to different fast foods, or not fast foods, but fast convenience stores, gas stations, whatever. They have rewards cards. Every time you buy fuel from them, if you put this card in, if you buy anything from them, you put this card in, it adds a credit to your deal because you're buying from them. That you can turn around and use that credit for discounts in the future. The same thing could be in the recycling. Instead of paying people to export this to other countries and opening that door for corruption and basically taking away from the local recyclers, then you can use this to ensure that this stays in your community. It helps to benefit your community, helps to benefit everybody. By putting this stuff in the right direction, you start guiding it to where you want this trash to go. Just like energy, you guide it to where you want it to go. You get the work you want done with it, and there's the answer right there. There's the solution. And the incentive to the kids to learn about this is that they now know that instead of throwing this bottle cap in the trash, that they put it in the right spot, and they actually have a piggy bank right there for them. It now turns that piece of plastic into the equivalence of maybe a penny or something.
Yes.
What do you think?
Now, I have seen hundreds of people walking up and down the side of the highway picking up aluminum cans. Wouldn't it be great if we could come up with some kind of thing where they not only pick up the cans, but they pick up the paper and the plastic, separate it as they pick it up, and make even more money? I mean, there are people out there that are homeless that walk, that's all they do, is walk down the dang old highway, getting exercise, picking up trash.
That's
but they only pick up certain pieces of trash because it's worth money.
That's basically,
we've got to put a value on this plastic. We got to come up with something to make out of this plastic that gives the plastic, the scrap plastic, value to where nobody throws this crap away.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I've been saying through the whole show. Exactly what you just said.
Yes.
We're going to put value.
You've got to put a value on it. We got to put a meter on the dang old stuff.
Yeah, well, that's what the bottle caps for Mad Science Project's about. And it gives people...
That's the stepping stone.
Huh?
The bottle cap is the stepping stone.
Well, that's the point. But either way, you get people interested, involved in this. You're only limited by your imagination. We can take this thing to the extreme. We can actually get people to want to not throw things away. That now every single thing that would otherwise been classified as trash now becomes treasure. What in the heck are you doing? Can you mute your mic?
I'm filling up my coffee cup with water.
Yeah,
I told you I got a heck of a mic.
You just filled it up on air, man. Killing my radio show. Alright, so... anyway, duct tape and bailing wire. How you doing there, Barry?
Well, I'm just listening to you guys talk. Good conversation.
Cool.
You know, what we're talking about sounds like it's trivial, but it's not. You know, it's just another thing we can do to really kind of help the old birds here, because she is in a lot of trouble. We know that.
Yeah, I get it.
And you're right. We're not past the point of no return, but we're getting close to it. She says, I honestly believe that.
Well, that's why I feel the urgency to do what it is we're doing. We got to start somewhere. You know, there are people out there doing it.
Anything that raises people's attention to little things that can make a difference is a good thing. And
yeah,
what we're talking about, sure, it sounds small, but it's actually big. Because if everybody started doing it, wow, what a change we'd see.
Well, since you're in this Skype chat, click on that Precious Plastics website link that I threw in there for Raymond. These folks have already started doing this. They've been doing this for quite some time. And, you know, they not only build equipment, but they teach you how to build equipment, and they allow you to download for free the plans and everything needed to actually go out there and have your own equipment. It basically builds a miniature recycling plant that you can turn your recyclable plastic into a useful product. And we can do this not just with plastics, we can do it with many other things as well. which opens up another portion where if people want to do something like that for aluminum cans, they can build machines that will either grind down or melt aluminum cans, tin cans, all these different things that we normally throw in the trash now have a useful purpose. And if we can build home versions of these, and people who really are concerning about the planet and want to turn their trash into a profitable business, there you go. You see what I mean?
Yep. You know, in Japan, it's actually illegal to throw your plastics in a dumpster. But they recycle it. It's mandated that you recycle everything that's recyclable in Japan is recycled. So if you look at their dumps, man, there's no plastic. There's nothing in there that's recyclable.
Yeah.
It's strictly waste that cannot be recycled. It's the only thing that's allowed in their landfill still.
I would be.
If we took them for an example, boy, oh boy, we wouldn't see plastic in our society giving us the problems that it's giving us now.
I agree. I'd be willing to bet that, because I know I've been over to Japan. Japan is a really clean place to see. I mean, it's a beautiful place. It's got culture. It's really got some beautiful scenery. It's an amazing place. If you ever get a chance to go visit with the Japanese people, you know, it's awesome. And so, with that said, there's other places like that in the world. I'd love to go to Scotland sometime. I've seen pictures of Scotland, and I know the people from over there are really nice folks. You know, I'd like to go to Ireland. I'd like to go to Canada. I'd like to go all over the place. You know,
yeah, Canada is a nice place, man. You better come up here, sure is.
I'd love to come visit. You know,
fishing with me on the river. We'll tell stories all day long.
That'd be awesome.
Well,
you know,
after the spring start running in the end of April, beginning of May.
if somehow or another I can get things sorted out, we might just make that happen. Right now, I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission not only to share my alternative energy research with people, but I'm on a mission to try to inspire people in another direction, because I'm sort of becoming an environmentalist. I've always been an environmentalist. I love nature. But for mostly, you know, every time I see a video like the big old trash pile that's floating around out there in the ocean, or little kids having to climb through garbage in order to try to earn a living, it just, it breaks my heart. It disgusts me, because I can't believe that we as humans would allow others to suffer the way that we do, you know. And we when you throw that in the trash, you throw it in the recycling bin, you actually, you can have a little bit of relief of conscience. You didn't litter directly, yet you did recycle indirectly, but when it leaves your house, the system is broken. The system needs fixed. When a local recycler has to lay off people because they can't afford to keep people going because they're paying the exporters more money than they are paying the people who's actually making new products with the raw material, then the exporters, they take advantage of the situation and they send things out with that trash to China. Garbage, biohazard materials and stuff, sending it to China that they're going to try to recycle this. When they get it, now they're mad because they got all this plastic they can't do nothing with because it costs too much to separate it, or it's too labor intensive. You just messed the whole system up because of greed. And they still got paid. The people who shipped it out still got paid. They didn't even have to do anything to it but move it. That's it. They got paid. Well, you need to stop that. You need to stop paying people to export it. If China needs to buy some of this, have them buy it from the local factory that will send them premium recyclables so that you keep China happy. China wants to use these to make the products, but they don't want to get ripped off. Neither do you. That's the whole thing.
Why can't we use the product here? Like you said, this is precious plastics.
Yeah. Well, we can. But whatever extra we got, China wants to buy some, you sell it to them, they're happy, you're happy. But if you keep screwing over China, they're not going to be happy about it, you know. And after all the things that I've researched in just this last week alone, you know, I'm frustrated because a lot of people talk bad about China. They're just trying to do the best that they can for their country. And if they buy plastic from you, recyclable plastic, and you're sending them biohazard plastic and trash and garbage with it, you're ripping them off. Ain't no need for that. You can understand they'd get frustrated. If they were doing that to us, we'd get mad. We wouldn't buy from them anymore. We'd reject their load.
That's about like the guy that collects beer cans, crushes them, and takes them to sell them as a scrap aluminum, but he puts a little pebble in every can to increase weight. Yeah. That's stealing. It's stealing.
Yeah, I knew.
Down and out, there is no other word to describe it. It's stealing.
I knew people that did dirty deeds like that, you know, and that tears up machinery, and it drops the price down to what other people could actually get for it. You got to be honest. People out there got to be honest, you know, and I know there's going to be crooked people throughout life, but when you find those crooked people, you find somebody doing that to, you know, people ripping their business off, you find them heavy as you possibly can. You find them into the poorhouse if need be, because they need to learn not to be doing that, because you tear up somebody's machinery, you break that system that it would have been a good system of recycling, that's a shame. You know, because now we got this big old pile of trash floating around out there in the world somewhere. And it keeps getting bigger because nobody's addressing it to the maximum potential. Somebody is addressing it. There are people out there that do recycle. There are people out there that are making an honest effort to clean up the planet, and they need our help. They need each and every one of you listening. They need your help. They need the resources. Look, somewhere in all these countries, there are government programs that they call grants. If there's people out there that are smart enough to know how to apply for these grants, find somebody who wants to build a recycling plant in their community to give other people jobs to actually clean up their neighborhood and actually employ some people. Help them fill out those grant papers. Help them get that government grant, so that they can get started. The problem is, it costs a lot of money in industry to do any business out there. And that's why most people work for people instead of having their own business. But if you get a lot of competition out there in what we're talking about, that makes people want to put a better product on the table. I got to build a better product because they're selling more than I am. I got to be more creative. So it inspires more creativity. And you get the children of today's future, today, going into the future with the mindset that nothing is worthless. It's all value. There's money in my hand when I'm holding this bottle cap right here. It may not be a lot of money. I'm not going to buy me a Ferrari with this bottle cap, but the concept behind this thing might buy me a Lamborghini instead. What do you think?
You're right.
That's why.
You know, I just went out to see my mother here a few weeks ago in Virginia, and driving out in the middle part of Virginia, we passed through a lot of cotton growing country. Think about the weight of cotton. I mean, come on, how much cotton do you have to grow to make it worthwhile? How much plastic is laying up on the side of the highways and in the landfills? How much, what does it take to make it worth your time to pick it up?
Well, I think it's worth the world's time, but here's the thing is, you know, I'm talking about plastic today, but plastic isn't the only thing. That's just an example, but plastics is the simplest thing, and it's a big problem right now. And if we can take this big problem and turn it into a positive for everyone, if I got a card and you got a card, and because we go to the store and we buy products from people, and we take these next time we go in, we put these plastic containers in this certain deal, and it gives us a credit, I get my soda cheaper next time. Ain't that cool? Even if it's only a cent cheaper, I still got one cent more than I would have had otherwise. And you get companies involved in recycling like this to where you give them an incentive, such as a tax credit, for instead of sending their construction waste over to a dump or a landfill, that there's some company out there that would use that material to do other things with it. And you give them a tax incentive, they don't have to pay a trash bill anymore, and they get a tax incentive, and somebody else gets some materials that they can work with to create new products. Think about it.
Yep. And I am. I'm sitting there thinking about it right now.
You just turned trash into money. You just gave the reason for everybody to want to do this. Even if it's only a piece of paper, or a piece of paper here, or a piece of paper there, it's like pennies in the bucket. Some people ain't going to waste their time with it. Oh, it's not, I can't get it fast enough. But some people are going to be smart. They're going to know that other people aren't going to take the time, and they will take the time. It'll be just like those doggone return for deposit bottles. You couldn't find them when you was a kid. Because all the other kids done beat you to them. They cashed them in and bought them some candy or maybe even another soda. And they went around to the neighbors and lobbied the neighbors for them. It wasn't nothing to see a kid with a grocery cart full of bottles because he went house to house, had him a route. Went house to house. You have any bottles that you want to get rid of? The ones that weren't going to save them when they go till they go to the grocery store and recycle them themselves, gave them to the kid. And so the kid goes down the grocery store and makes out like a bandit. And I bet that kid right there, probably a business owner, somewhere later on, and he's very, very profitable because he knew that one person's trash was his resource, his free resource to actually earn a living. Tell me that ain't exciting.
Hey, we're saying one man's junk is another man's treasure. Seems to be a logical statement, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And Barry, you know as well as I do, our environment needs all the help it can get right now. And this is a step forward. This is a positive solution that if people implement this, I honestly believe that we can clean this mess up.
You know, Barry and I both said the same thing on the same show today. One man's trash is another man's treasure, and I don't want to dwell on this cotton deal. Okay? Don't want to dwell on it, but I do want to bring it to attention. I passed hundreds and thousands of acres of picked over cotton fields that had tens of thousands of pounds of cotton just laying there rotting. There's homeless people that need a job. Well, duh, nobody's going to pay them to pick their cotton up, but they would give it to them. All they got to do is go out in the country and get the wife and the kids out in the field and get permission from the guy. Can I glean the field and get this cotton?
It's a free resource.
The cotton itself it doesn't have any real value, but the seeds do for the cottonseed oil.
Yep,
and meal.
It's a free resource.
The people could make their living just picking fields. They leave unreal amounts of cotton in the field. That's a resource for somebody that doesn't have a job. Create your own job.
Well, there you go.
One homeless guy's got a car. He knows three others that don't. The all four of them get together, go out in the country, and pick cotton.
Yep. Well, look, folks, it's that time again. It's time to go around the table and get some words of wisdom from everybody. But look, everything that you get done using, there's a use for it. It doesn't matter whether it's an appliance. It doesn't matter whether it's clothing. You can recycle clothing just like you can recycle anything else. The materials
look,
of
here,
it. Huh?
Here's my thing, okay? You don't go to somebody with a handful of give me and a mouthful of much oblige.
All right,
you're going to go out here in this field. You tell the guy, okay, I'm going to give you 10% of what we get. You're going to let it stay there and rot. We're going to go get it, and we're going to give you 10% of whatever we take out of your field. They would not turn you down.
Well, there you go.
Nobody would.
Let me get this going. We'll go around the table. You guys... Okay, listen. Clothing, plastics, metal, old appliances, all of them have value. And if you want to take the time to actually clean this world up, if you want to take the time to actually benefit yourself financially, there's an idea out there that will take away your trash bill. It won't put the trash man out of business, but it will take away your trash bill. Everything will be recycled from that point on. Your trash will now become a financial addition to your household income.
I'll tell you what.
Raymond, hold on. So when you think about what it is that I've explained here, it's going to turn what would have otherwise ended up in a landfill or become somebody else's environmental hazard into a plus. That's what I'm talking about. The bottle caps for mad science. I'm going to show people by example how to fund my research using other people's trash and try to use that same exact bottle cap idea to inspire future generations to want and be incentivized, I can't even say the word, to do what it is we're talking about, recycle, and in a proper and a respectful manner. So, with that said, it's time to go around the table. Raymond, you got something that you want to go?
No, I'm fine.
How about you, Barry?
Well, you know, so this, we could work on cleaning up the existing plastic in our environment, and that would be a big plus to the planet, but we also should focus people's attention on demanding that all our plastic now be made with biodegradable products. Because that isn't a reality in our world right now, that all the plastic we're producing right now could be changed to biodegradable products, period, that will actually become part of the earth after you've used it. Hemp-based products are one of those, and there's multiple biodegradable plastics on the market. We should, as a society, demand that all plastics be biodegradable. What a change that would make in a generation. And then we could also put financial incentives in place for people to actually go out to the long fields and pick up plastic and get rid of it. I was just looking at that video. What a great video. She says, I'm going to share that around.
Great.
So, you know, Barry just said something that brought something that I would like to add to. This biodegradable plastic, it was last year that a laboratory in the Netherlands, they developed not only just a biodegradable plastic, but edible. I mean, you buy your food and wrap it in this plastic.
Now, buddy.
Yeah,
you make a plastic out of hemp that will actually benefit the earth when you throw it in the
landfill. Exactly. You cook your food, wash the plastic, and eat it too.
And eat it. Oh. Yeah, no, I saw that. So the technology is out there, guys. It's just up to society to demand it. And boy, this is a time that we should be demanding it, because that is a reality, and it could really make a big impact on our planet. Great show, Shazam. Yeah, I was in as usual.
I thank both of you. Both
edible, biodegradable, edible plastic. I mean, come on, man. How can you get better than that?
Yeah, well, I hope it's got good flavor and it doesn't taste like a rice cake, because I don't want nothing to taste like a rice cake. But either way, we're rice cakes. You can use those. Look, folks, we got to go. But listen, Raymond, thank you very much. You got a lot of good ideas, and so did you, Barry. And I'm always inspired every time we all get together, the way that these shows grow. But folks, this show ain't going to be this show. It ain't going to be worth nothing if you don't share this information with other people. Barry said that video that he saw Precious Plastic, he's going to spread it around. That's awesome, because that helps Dave over there at Precious Plastic get his deal going, and it's a recycling, and he builds things. He gives the diagrams to you for free. He shows you a how-to video for free. Help support them over at Precious Plastics. And help support Shazoo's Radio and People for People Radio Network by sending this podcast out to as many people. Send it to representatives. Send it to your congressmen and your senators or your parliament or whatever you got, whatever type of government. Send it to them. Send it to people out there who think that the environment is beyond hope, that we send these ideas out there. I want the environmentalists to hear this. I want the businesses to hear this. I want the schools to hear this. I want everybody in the world to hear this, because the mess that's floating out there is only going to get bigger. And every other mess that mankind has made is only going to keep on getting bigger. And I don't want to live on the trash planet. I want to live on a beautiful planet like we were intended to. I want all of us to live happily ever after and give something really beautiful to our future generations. I want our children and our children's children to have hope and be inspired by what we've accomplished here. We start off with one positive pebble. In my case, this is a little bottle cap. And I'm going to take this bottle cap and I'm going to show you how truly powerful each and every one of you are by taking this one little bottle cap and building on this idea as far as I can possibly take it. And that's what the Knights of the Round Table is all about. Take these ideas, join this round table. In digital cyberspace, we can stretch this table to infinity. We can fit all the 9 billion people or however many million people are on this planet right now. We can fit them all around the table. And when they're ready to fix this world, we'll get it done. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Folks, I'm going to play us out of here with the Dream, because I want you to hear what the Dream's all about. Peace and love, everybody. I hope you enjoyed this show. Please, I'm begging you, with everything that I am, share this with somebody, anybody. Take care.
What is the Dream? The Dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great one.
Woman! Man! Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines to border scenes, to footwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rise that are quite unsingable. We're off so mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Hear ye, hear ye. King Shaziz the Terrible. All those who are kings, Shaziz the Terrible, and the Knights of the Round Table.